It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech, the week after CES. John C. Dvorak's here with Natalie Morris and Marquez Brownlee, MKBHD, to talk about CES and more. Stay tuned. This Week in Tech is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 440, recorded January 12th, 2014. Sound by Steve. This Week in Tech is brought to you by LegalZoom. Visit LegalZoom.com to save on your legal needs and gain access to a network of legal plan attorneys for guidance. LegalZoom's not a law firm. They're better. They provide self-help services at your specific direction. Visit LegalZoom.com and use the offer code TWIT to receive $10 off at checkout. And by GoToMeeting with HD Faces from Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet with coworkers and clients anywhere. Share the same screen and see each other face-to-face with HD video conferencing. Even present from an iPad. Try it free for 30 days. No credit card required to get started. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code TWIT. And by Shutterstock.com. With over 28 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 25% off your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code TWIT114. And by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free 2-week trial and 10% off, go to Squarespace.com and use the offer code TWIT1. It's time for TWIT This Week in Tech, the show that covers your technology news from the week. And, of course, a very big week because, as everybody knows, it's the NFL play. No, wrong. It's a CES week. And as, by the way, I got the memo. It's International CES, and the CES does not stand for anything.
When did that happen? Remember DVD when they kept changing the name of it?
It's the show formerly known as the Consumer Electronics Show. Now it's just International CES. John C. Dvorak is here.
Hello.
In plaid. The Lumberjack Dvorak.
Yep.
Also thrilled to have Natalie Morris back from her beautiful New Jersey abode.
Hi.
Did you go to Vegas this week?
No, I did not.
Did Clayton?
No, actually, we both sat this one out.
That's how you know you're
from the sideline.
A senior technology correspondent, if you don't have to go.
If you don't have to go, right. It's mostly the peons that go.
Yeah, it starts, if you're a little junior cub reporter, you don't get to go. And then the day comes, I'm going to CES. You do that about 12 times. And then you go, I can't wait not to go to CES. And then finally you get senior enough or old enough that you don't have to go.
Or unemployed enough, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah, or unemployed enough. That's another way to put it. You know who is here, who was at CES, and I'm thrilled to have him on, YouTube star Marcus Brownlee, ultimate Frisbee player. Hey, Marcus, MKBHD. You say it so fast, I got to get MKBHD.
Yeah, I say it so fast in a lot of videos that I forget that people who are new don't know what it stands for, so I kind of slow down a little bit. But,
I'm thinking it stands for Marcus K. Brownlee in high def.
Exactly.
I got it.
Yep.
Already, you filed, I don't know, 5 or 6 reports from CES. Already more than 800,000 views on YouTube. The biggest one, though, was my kit. 170,000 views for the bag of stuff you brought to CES.
Yeah, well, I kind of teased that a little bit because I have changed a lot of the video gear I've been using in the past couple of weeks. So I was going to show what video gear I use anyway, and I figured CES was a good time to do that because I was bringing a select portion of it to cover the show.
You used a DSLR to shoot?
I could consider it a DSLR. I guess it's not a DSLR. The C100, the Canon C100, is the camera that I use. I used to use a DSLR in the Canon 5D Mark III.
So this is their $5,000 or $6,000 kind of Mark III like, but it's intended for video.
Yeah, it's video first. As great as the 5D is and always will be at video, it's a stills first camera. So having a video first camera with a lot of video functions and video layout body and everything like that is really helpful for shooting, especially the sort of running gun stuff you do at CES.
Yeah, but it does use the Canon lenses.
Yep.
Which is great. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the best of both worlds.
What's the model number again?
It's the EOS C100.
Oh, okay, got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they announced this, I think, at last CES.
Yeah,
pretty sweet gear. I could see that the YouTube videos are paying some money here.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
Nice.
You can get a good kit. But Marcus is still in school. You're studying for an MBA, right?
Yeah. I'm majoring in business.
Business.
Yeah.
See, this is a smart
guy. Yeah, he's not like us.
This is the future.
So am I. I'm getting an MBA as well.
You too?
Oh, well, that's you're over the hill.
Yeah. What?
Nothing. I didn't say anything.
I'm over the hill.
No.
She's a.
Everybody's raving about how beautiful you look today, by
the
way.
She's a young woman. She's
Did
got
you notice this? You guys just, are going on and on about how gorgeous she is.
I think you're gorgeous too, Marcus.
Well.
I just want to be fair. John, not so much. Me, not so much. We're the old guys.
Now,
so,
John, we had all these talks in the pre-show about how not to offend women.
He's not. He doesn't care.
That was not.
Brought to you by
not
Dots.
Offensive.
So Kara Swisher and her. Go ahead, Marcus. What you got a bigger Dots? He's got a. You've one upped him already.
Well,
Wait a minute. Hold up
There's
your Dots.
There's a million ways I can
That's
go with this.
The world's smallest
and
Dot.
I refuse to go down that road. Refuse
he
to go down that road.
One upped you.
Yeah. Well,
we're 30 seconds into the show.
These came from your studio.
It's not my fault, man. You show your little tiny Dot. On
the
TV.
So this is the game we're playing is I hold up something and you have to hold up a bigger version.
Apparently Marcus won
but he won't be able to eat the whole box.
I literally just got it. I had lunch. I'm on West Coast time, so I forgot to eat lunch today. So I made the mistake of grocery shopping while hungry. Not supposed to do that.
Oh.
So I ate lunch and then continued eating. So now that's why I have
That's when you buy the really big packages of Dots.
You do know that's not food, right?
Just gum. I had the real lunch and I was still hungry because
some kind of goo.
It's 9 p.m. West Coast time.
Yeah.
So Kara Swisher wrote kind of the article I guess a lot of people wanted to write about CES. I'd love to hear your opinion, Marcus, because you were on the ground, in which she says, basically, it isn't where innovation happens. It's where marketing happens. And, really, you go here to get bombarded with marketing. Were you able, Marcus, to... And this is, by the way, on her
by the
on
way,
their
that's
new
pretty
Recode
astonishing
site.
She'd come up with something well, so I radical.
It's such not as radical,
a,
but...
Since it's a sale, a show for dealers, but okay.
Well, originally, it was a show for dealers, right? But by the way, she doesn't knock it. She says it was a great show, but it's just loud. And most important, the point I'm making, most point she's making, is you don't go there to see something new, particularly. Marcus, did you see, was there anything you saw that you thought was particularly innovative?
I would tend to say no, even though a lot of stuff there was really cool and advanced and new in terms of the tech used, but... I felt like half of the stuff that was really cool and new was just there to get some press and make some noise and may or may not actually happen. So I tend to agree with
that. Yeah, that stuff never makes it to market.
Well, I'll give you a perfect example.
They say maybe fall. It was when you asked, okay, what's the release date and the price on this?
Yeah.
And they say,
maybe.
Oh, yeah. And you know, anything that they say, that's actually come to market, this is my CES decoder. If they give you a date of May... That probably will hit the market because that means that it's in the product development cycle enough that they know something about it. And it may not actually launch till October. But anytime they say April or May, you're like, okay, this I'll actually see.
So this
but if
one...
they say fall, you'll never see that thing.
Forget it. There's nothing there. There's no there there. So this is one that was more in the fall category. It was at the Intel booth from a company called Rest Devices. And I thought as the because you have two young children, maybe you'd have noticed this. It's a baby onesie that's a baby monitor. Mm-hmm. And this, to me, says everything you need to know about CES 2014. It's wearable.
Right.
It has an attached lily pad and turtle that connect to your home's Wi-Fi. And your kid wears this. Doesn't look – I think the kid's going to have a pain in the hip from this because it goes on the onesie. It measures respiration, skin temperature, body position, and activity level and sends it all – not only to a smartphone app, but to a mug that mom or dad has at the table, at breakfast table. And the mug smiles if the baby's happy and frowns.
This is the worst thing ever.
This gets the Happy Fork nomination for the dumbest product at CES this year that got all the coverage. All the coverage. This is made for TV.
Right.
Yeah, that's dumb. And and dangerous. And
totally dangerous. I agree with that 100%.
Apparently, you could put it on teenagers, too, which is kind of...
No, that's different.
Oh, okay.
You know, I didn't hear very much talk, and I was looking for it. I was watching all the coverage. I felt like if I took a shot every time someone said wearable, right, I'd be wasted. But there's not very much research about whether or not that's safe to have on your person. And I personally, I use the Withings baby monitor that was announced last year at CES on my daughter. And I just started to freak because it was a little too close to her. And I thought, I don't know what the repercussions are. No one does yet about Wi-Fi being this close to our body. And I stopped wearing the Fitbit for that same reason, because it's constantly searching for my phone in order to send that data, which means it's going through my body. We just don't know enough. And I know I always sound like the hippie on the show, but we know enough.
Wait a minute.
Do
we
you
know.
Think
yes.
We do?
Yes.
I don't know.
We know enough. This is very low power. This is not going
to
hurt.
Yeah, I know. But when it's searching, it usually has to spike.
Yeah, that's exactly my point. It's searching for your device in order to send the data to the cloud. It's searching for your router, or it's searching for the device. So how many things can you have on your person? And I carry my phone in my pocket all the time. And so that's sending signals about where I am and what the weather is and all of that stuff. And then you've got the Fitbit on your arm. I had the Withings next to my daughter's head while she was sleeping, and I just freaked. So I ended up using the drop cam and put it way across the room so that I can see the whole room. So this thing about putting something directly on their hip that's sending a signal, and there are already mattresses that do this. There are mattress pads that test their breathing and test their movement and all of that. I think that would make you a super paranoid parent.
I think there's no, it's conceivable that there's an issue. There's no, I've looked at all of this research about EMT, or not EMT, EMF. And Wi-Fi.
Well, we're
and
being bombarded no by it
there's
commonly.
There is zero after many studies.
That's not true. There was a study that was done that showed some correlation with brain cancer and over... Well, wait, let me finish. And overuse of phone. And the conclusion was that it wasn't the Wi-Fi at all, but it was the proximity creating a buildup of heat. And you can't, like, you know, which caused an irritation.
You can't microwave your brain. That's a bad idea.
Yeah.
I don't think we're at the level of power where your brain is getting heated up.
Apparently, if you're on the phone all day, it's getting heated up a little bit. It's not cooking. It's just getting heated up. But you can,
right.
I don't
care.
Right,
that's one of the reasons that we're told now to not put the phone directly to our head. That's even, the chat room's going crazy and saying
I'm
being a fear
monger. Yeah, they think you're crazy.
Right, but this is because it's a pain point. Because I'm suggesting that maybe we need to actually distance our
But there have been many studies on this. So this is not...
But they're not conclusive. I've read the same studies.
That means there's no evidence.
They're all very iffy.
That means there's no evidence. They're not conclusive because there's no evidence.
We don't have enough time, though. Even a decade is too short of an amount of a trial period.
The show is brought to you by Motorola.
No, it's not. It's just... Okay, anyway. So, Marcus.
Yeah.
By the way, you just came back from the most Wi-Fi electromagnetic frequency saturated zone in the world. Yeah. If 20 years from now you get cancer, you know who to thank.
CES.
CES. What else was so? If the MIMO is the closest thing to innovation, I think that's safe to say. Did you? Were there any wearables that impressed you at all? That was the term of the CES this year was wearables and the quantified self.
Nothing too shocking. I saw there's the new Pebble. There's been mostly positive impressions about the Pebble in general. So the Pebble Steel and their new API and their new app store for Pebble. So that's at least getting started in a way that may make wearables more interesting.
What do you think about the Pebble? Do you wear a Pebble?
I don't wear a smartwatch. I don't wear anything on my wrists. I used to wear... Well, I was using the Galaxy Gear for a little bit. And then...
It's dopey, right?
Yeah, it's just, it got in the way. It's clunky the way that the electronics are laid out. And it's kind of good looking at first, but it just wasn't for me.
Well,
and
that's
then
the idea of the steel. That's the idea of the steel is that
exactly.
it's better looking anyway. Still it's completely silly. People love the Pebble. I think there's a soft spot. And I was a Pebble contributor on Kickstarter. I have my Pebble. I think there's a little bit of a soft spot for people because of that. It was one of the most successful Kickstarter campaigns of all time.
It's very focused about what it does. Like some smartwatches I've seen tend to try to do either too much or they try to be everything in your life, I guess. The Galaxy Gear has a camera on it. I don't know why you need a camera on a watch, you know. But the Pebble does a certain set of things that seem like good ideas really well. And I guess they're trying to continue to focus on a certain smaller set of things rather than spreading it too thin.
I just, to me, I guess I'm with you, Natalie. I don't see any of these wearables being particularly compelling, whether it's Google Glass, the Pebble Watch, the internet connected onesie.
No, I like the fitness / smartphone type thing. I think that's fine.
You wore a Fitbit, you said, right?
Yeah, the fitness.
Yeah, ones. I did. I have before. I stopped. I just for my. I won't go into it again because the chat room wants to murder me. But
the Fitbit works. The Fitbit works because it inspires you to get your numbers up. Just as the Jawbone Up did that. I used the Fuel Band because it did that nice little animation when you hit your goal. That's all it's for, right? Just to kind of, I got to get my numbers up.
I guess the quantified life. It makes you go to sleep because you want to get your sleep numbers. It makes you work, you know, it makes this me walk more because I can't stand it when Veronica Belmont beats me.
Yeah.
Beats you on what? So, what game?
We're friends on Fitbit, so we're always competing. Game, you know, game. So if she's walked more than me, I don't like it.
But that's good because it gets you walking.
Steps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Although I'd be curious how many steps we took at CES.
You didn't count?
I didn't have anything on. So I didn't have a odometer. I should have probably installed one on my phone.
Oh, but there are apps that do that now. You can do it in your phone.
The Nexus, Galaxy Note 3 has, and in fact, GS4 has it too, has a little pedometer in it. Scott Wilkinson, our home theater guy, was there. He wears a pedometer each year to CES, logged 24 miles in 4 or 5 days.
Nice.
That's pretty typical, he says.
Yeah, I think it is.
A few miles a day. Most of it's just uncomfortable because you're, you know. In fact, you know you're in like the hot upscale booth when you get the really thick carpet. Like Intel.
You ever bopping around the show and then you hit that carpet. Oh. It slows you down. Well, but it also slows you down
like
you're walking in sand.
It's like quicksand.
It's like, I can't walk.
It slows you down because your feet are happy.
It's funny Fitbit had the one that you put in your bra for a while. Didn't they actually have it like? The instructions were that a woman should wear in the bra instead of...
Let's talk a little more about this.
The clip Fitbit you could wear in your bra or on your belt.
Right. And I was always dropping it when at the end of the day, I'd take off my bra.
I'd take off my bra and it falls.
And it would fall into the floor and then I would never find it again. I would kick it under the bed or something.
I lost a Fitbit.
They need some more boob innovation, don't you think, at CES?
Now we're talking.
I lost a Fitbit at the San Diego Zoo in Paris... In the toilet at home and in a washing machine.
How did you lose it in the toilet?
Post-flush.
In the washing machine. You can't, when you put stuff in
it. No, because it's on your belt. It's on your,
You throw your belt in the washing machine?
No, but in this case it was on the pants and I threw it in the, it just happens to me every time. I've literally gone through 4 Fitbits. Those are the clip-on ones. The wristband is not so bad.
But the wristband snaps on me. The rubber is not really well made. So as soon as I take it out to charge, it snaps right at the seam.
So. That sounds like a piece of crap.
I hate it when rubber snaps. So, Marcus, I was of the generation. You're what, 21, 22?
20.
20. So, you didn't grow up with wristwatches, probably, right?
Exactly.
So,
never really worn one.
Exactly. And that's why I wonder, people have been making a big deal about Apple. A lot of this.
Clock bracelets.
Yes. I have that was the Jack in the Box.
Yeah, yeah.
What is that? Did you invent the clock bracelet? it seems to me everybody's kind of trying to scramble to get in this market before Apple does, as if Apple's going to suddenly make this iWatch that everybody's going to go, whoa.
I think Apple was wise to put it off and then they can see what happens.
Let them struggle. And the problem is you want the market you want is the Marcus Brownlees of the world. You want young people. Who've never worn a wristwatch?
A wristwatch?
Never worn a wristwatch in 5 times fast. All right.
Yeah.
So, is there any wearable that would? Have you tried Google Glass, Marcus?
Yeah, I'm a glass explorer. I just shipped off my version 1s today.
Oh, you can upgrade.
Swapped to Google version 2. I don't wear glass that often. When I do, it's usually with a certain purpose, like I intend to record something. And so the whole, you know, wearable tech thing, obviously there's a lot of talk about it, but I'm just not really into it yet. Trying to find some better stuff. I saw something from Jaybird at CES, that was a little unique.
What's that?
Because it was actually it was a fitness band, not a clock, but it was more flexible, so you could actually, it was more comfortable than I guess some of the rigid ones that clamp or clip. So I feel like it would be a little less cumbersome. But
it was the Jaybird Rain, they called it, REIGN. Yes. Mm-hmm. Which makes no sense, because reins that horses have are REIN.
That's what this is, the same thing.
But it's,
you
this
put
is
it in
our,
your mouth.
It's a bit.
You wear a mouthpiece wearable tech.
I think wearable tech is.
Most people concluded that this was a flop.
Dangerous.
It was a flop at the CES.
The all of it was.
And though everybody talked about Netflix. Netflix did the best job of getting their message out. They put their stuff everywhere, and now they announced they're going to stream 4K. And then they came up with some scheme where they'll pay your bill for bandwidth if they have to.
This is that AT&T. We got to talk about the AT&T thing. That's a big story.
What do you guys think about the connected home? It's too. It's funky. Like this app for this refrigerator or this operating system. It doesn't. It's not there yet.
The connected home. It's funky. Says Natalie Morris.
It's funky.
I agree
that's
with her.
The word I think I wanted the word janky.
Janky. That's because there is
but
no.
It could be funky.
It's because there's no unified standard yet.
Oh, yeah,
what
exactly
about the
that.
Remember the X10 or whatever?
Yeah.
This has come and gone for the last 30 years, and nobody likes it.
And then there's Zigbee. There's all these standards. There's, I don't know about this year, but in many years past at CES, there's been an entire
Zigbee
automated home automation pavilion. But always. nobody's got a sentence
because
now.
People don't want this crap. I mean, it's not, if I first thing I would
do
if they
like the August.
Yeah,
like
here's what I would do. It's if you had a connected home, the first thing you do is you hack it and you turn the guy's heat up to 110. That's the first thing
that.
You do.
Come on, the Nest was a success, so there's a marketplace for it if you can do it well. We're using the Hue, the Philips.
I
Hue.
Love the Hue.
That's mm-hmm. so neat.
But okay, I mean, but I got to tell you, I moved.
Something.
I moved, uh-huh. And I brought my Nest and my Hue, and I didn't connect up either yet.
There you have it.
It's like there
it's
was
how
no urgency.
It is to you.
There was really no urgency. It's like, oh yeah, one of these days I'll. It's again, it's solving a problem that doesn't. You know, I mean.
All right. Well, you're
talking
come out
about solving.
Do you have the? Do you have the Hue hooked up at Tinky Winky?
No. No.
The Hue is in Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
How about the Nest? Tinky Winky or Jersey?
Jersey.
What is Tinky
Winky? And we're using
Winky?
The Mickey one, too, where it's the Mickey ears and you read a story and it's like, you know, the Toy Story gang was in a tent and then they saw some shadows and the lights dim like when it's at that time in the story. It's so cool.
There's a new app.
Wow.
There's you guys new... aren't intrigued by
no, the Hue. So let me explain. The Hue is from Philips.
The
LED bulbs are expensive, $60. You have to buy a base unit with a home base station and starter kit. And you connect them via Wi-Fi, and you can talk to them. They're RGB, so you can do any color from the Hue. There is a new app, which John just showed me, called Exoplanet for iPhone and iPad. And what the app does, you'll like this, it notifies you every time we've discovered a new exoplanet.
Great.
That's
I need to get notified when
Earth-like
that happens.
An Earth-like planet in another solar system is an exoplanet.
That's a practical use.
No, but now, this is the part I love.
Here's the big but.
It ties into the Hue. And you can automatically see what light on that planet would look like in your living room.
Oh, fascinating.
Whoa. That's as close as you're going to get to space.
I love
nice
it.
Twist. Yeah. That's a nice twist.
That
I
is
like
the
it.
Nerdiest thing I've ever
I
heard.
I like it, too.
Yeah. That's I actually like that. That's kind of neat.
See?
Yeah, there you go. Well,
see?
You guys should work together. So I'm listening to the guy from LG say the following, talking about the idiocy of the connected home. He says... You know how you had, you know, this is about the texting product that came out. You can text your refrigerator, you can text your washing machine to tell it to start. Or
this is so stupid. Come on. You just walk down the hall, you press on.
Well, he says, remember when you had to, this is the quote I memorized. I use it on the show today on the No Agenda show. He says, remember when you had to rush home to turn on your washer and dryer?
No, you never had to do that.
Besides that, is this clothes in there rotting? Is the dryer ready to go? Why don't you just turn it on when you leave? Who puts the soap in?
So stupid.
Oh, don't tell my mother-in-law that. You must never leave the house with the dryer on. What if it explodes?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that happens so often.
The Wi-Fi could go through the air, set the clothes on fire. The whole thing could blow up, and you wouldn't be home to suffer.
That's the first thing I do is hack it and turn people's washing machines on. Just let them go.
It's completely nutty to have the idea that you would want to remote start something that requires you to be there physically to put things into it.
Yes, with the soap and the clothes. I know, it's idiotic. It's
like I've set it all up, but I'm going to wait and start it via text message.
When I come home, when I'm on our way home. Yeah, I know, it's idiotic. This was the same. This is the crap we heard in the late 90s about the refrigerator that will tell you how much milk.
No, no. I want a refrigerator that will tweet my milk.
I want to preheat my oven. And
that's a good one.
Don't they also send you a text when it
takes 10 minutes. It doesn't take 5 minutes for
when
a
your stuff is done so that you can run home and take it out.
Well, if you're like, if you have one in, I don't know, a different room in the house and you don't know when it's done or not, it's done in the washer. You want to switch it to the dryer. You don't know when it's done.
I have one of these things on my washing machine. It's so cool. When it's done, it goes beep, 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 beep.
I have one of those too.
I love it.
Also, the dryer makes noise.
Dryer's done, yeah. I can tell when the dryer's done.
That's super annoying.
Torbeck says, I lost my house
to a dryer fire.
See?
Do not make fun of the dryer fire.
I've had dryers all my life and none of them ever caught on fire. So I think it's a remote statistical anomaly when one does.
I think it has to do with being on an electric or a gas, though.
Which is which?
I think the electric is more dangerous than the gas.
Why would that be?
I don't know. Let's see.
I think the
chat room will tell us. One or the other is more dangerous, and just my mother told me to never do it.
Well, it's also more expensive.
I know Natalie's mom, by the way, I'm proud to say.
I've met her.
Is it Vernon? Vernon's Clayton's. Vernon's Clayton's mom.
Natalie's mom loves me, just like your mom. I'm a likable guy when it comes down to it.
My mom wants to have your baby.
Well, it's a little late for that.
So... I think you're more likely to die in a dryer fire than you are to get cancer from Wi-Fi, but that's just my
There point. You go. Call back.
Moving on. Curved television sets, as long as we're talking about CES, they're really, you know, CES, frankly, if you ask me, the biggest story at CES in the last 8 years has always been televisions, right? But not always successfully. 3D was the story.
3D still around?
In 2008, remember the big story was mobile TV, the little Flow TV and things like that? Of course, Marcus was 8 years old. He doesn't remember this, but this was the thing that everybody would have a TV in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody bought
it. Is that a TV in your pocket?
Yeah. Then it was 3D TV. Again, not successful. In fact, it's interesting. Vizio announced at CES this year they're not going to make any more 3D TVs.
Why? It only said $5 circuit. It doesn't even cost anything extra to make them anymore.
I guess people didn't want them.
Well...
But what we did see is a lot of UHD slash 4K. They're not quite an interchangeable term. So I'll use UHD, which is the industry term, ultra high def televisions.
They're cheap too,
and they're very cheap. Under so many sub $1,000.
I'm surprised that you haven't swapped all the TVs. You got monitors all over the place. People don't realize that until they come in here.
Marcus, did you look at the 4Ks?
I do. I have one right behind me. I have another one.
He's way ahead of you.
Is that a Seiki? Which one do you have?
This is the Seiki 39-inch.
That's under $1,000.
Yeah.
It's been under $600 for a while. It's really
there you go.
Do you watch anything on that?
That one, no, because right after I got that, Black Friday happened, and a TCL 50-inch went down to $799, and I bought that. So,
So that's just that's a prop behind you.
Until I find, I'm going to review it, which means putting it right here and connecting the Mac Pro to it tonight, maybe. But yeah, right now it's there was a ton of 4K TVs at CES. I made a video about actually the 4K cameras of CES because there were a lot less of those and they were a little more interesting to me. But yeah, everyone had a 4K TV.
Those are neat. Tell us about those.
Yeah, the 4K cameras. Yeah.
The Galaxy Note 3 shoots 4K, I should say
No, 4K. No, this shoots 4K. 4K, yeah.
Yeah, and
it's 60 frames, right? I mean, it's full frame rate.
It's very watchable. It's just not the highest bit rate, and it tends to fall apart with any sort of movement. But I talked about the fact that has a 4K sensor, and you can record 4K video. So Sony came out with their new Handycam, which is a $2,000 coming soon 4K Handycam that you basically hold in your hand and can shoot 4K video with. And really high quality. They're pretty good at that. They had a couple of other 4K cameras. There was some 4K at the Canon booth. Nothing really new or cheap, but they had the 1DC, which is $12,000, and the C500, which is $25,000. So the whole point of the video was that CES is showing things that are expensive now that will eventually, with volume, hopefully become much cheaper and more available this year. So with all the 4K TVs, you might as well have a camera that shoots 4K so you can enjoy that to the fullest. So
I'm shooting 4K right now on my Galaxy Note 3.
Right now. Yeah.
Look at that. It's Now, it's admittedly doesn't have a great lens or anything, but it's actually fairly credible 4K full frame.
It looks, I've seen some really well
this
done.
This is your newest phone?
Footage,
is this
yeah.
your phone? This is the phone du jour?
Phone du jour, the
I
Note
like
3.
This, by the way.
It's a little strange, I know. Yeah,
this
I think that's a good
huge.
Point, Marcus.
This is like a laptop.
That's the point.
Of this
it's a, you know, who needs a tablet? You've got a phone and a tablet. It's got all that Samsung crap on it. It's the only thing wrong with it. But there, yeah. but it wouldn't make sense to do a Google edition because you've got the stylus. You have a lot of.
Is this the one with the Samsung operating system?
No. It's not Tizen. It's Android.
Yeah, the Mike Tyson.
Mike
operating
Tyson
system.
Operating system. It has a Lisp, but it's powerful.
Yeah, there you go.
In fact, Marcus, you're showing off the Note 3 right here on your YouTube video as I watch it. Did you shoot any of the video from the show on that?
No, I shot everything on the C100. I'm thinking this is the year I'm going to buy a 4K camera that I shoot my videos with.
Wow.
As 4K becomes more and more widely or UHD video, I guess. But so far, I shot everything on this guy.
You can distribute on YouTube in 4K, but it's so compressed. I don't know the point, right?
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, you can actually tell when a video is shot in 4K when you're watching in 1080p, and I think that's because the bitrate is actually higher. But not a lot of people actually even watch it in 1080p or even 4K. So,
right. Yeah. Curved TVs. What do you think?
I think it's the 3D of 2014.
I have a curved TV.
You do?
Yeah.
You got one?
Yeah. No, I have the Samsung OLED that they came out with earlier.
It's curved.
It's about a 5% curve. Thing, as far as I could tell, the only thing about it, you can't hang it on the wall because it'll wrap, rolls back and forth.
Well, that's not
and
good.
You don't want to be sitting on the side because it's like.
Can't see anything.
It's curved.
Yeah.
So it's dumb. They did it because they could. I couldn't. Did you see any advantage, Marcus? Did it feel more immersive?
Not really. In the 105-inch one, yes.
Yeah, maybe.
But maybe that's
because
it's
right
105
in there.
Inches. Yeah. Anyway, so it would have felt more immersive anyway.
Right.
But I feel like it's another one of those things they did for the press, and oops, so did everyone else. But they had one that you could actually press a button and would mechanically go from flat to curved and then press it again and go back.
Yeah, there's a mechanical one.
It's a remote control. You press the remote, it goes
zzz. That's just about
it. Goes,
that's
oh, okay, you want to curve totally the TV. Dumb. Now you'll watch. Maybe, you can get rid of the disadvantages of 4K or of curved TV. Maybe you want to watch with your friends. You want to watch the game. You don't want it curved anymore. Flatten it out. $80,000.
Now, as you said.
But isn't there's a distance at which it there is some sort of advantage, right? This is what I was reading.
2 feet.
Like If you get really far away from the television, then a big crowd, it sort of does serve. But in a smaller space, it wouldn't serve a small crowd.
I guess what they were trying to tout was that if you're sitting, in line with the center of the TV, sitting a good distance away from it, the wrapping of the sides would help to feel more immersive. I don't even know what they mean by that word, but it looked okay from the center, but once you get off axis from whatever distance you are, parts of the image that are curved will appear a bit distorted, which could be good or bad. You're watching football; it's going to look like the guy just got twice as big when he runs to the side of the TV.
That's so
but if
silly.
You're watching a movie, maybe you won't notice. I don't know; it depends on the content. But I don't like distortion in the first place, so right. I wasn't a big fan. That's also why I didn't like 3D.
As you pointed out, John, Netflix got the most mileage out of the UHD 4K story by
saying they didn't even have a booth.
They didn't need a booth.
No, they did very well.
They
for
pointed
themselves.
Out that House of Cards was shot in 4K, even though it wasn't streamed in 4K for the first season, but will be.
Yeah.
Starting Valentine's Day, streamed in 4K. The problem is the word "streamed in 4K." How much bandwidth do you need for a 4K? For quality,
I don't know what the
signal.
Absolute. I haven't, I like to. Every so often, I meet with a guy where I've met with him once, the Roku CEO, and he gives me. That's the first thing I always ask is, what does it take to get the best stream? What's the bit rate and all the rest of it? And I have to go have lunch with him again to find out the absolute the perfect numbers for streaming 4K.
He used to be a Netflix. Roku was a Netflix product.
Yeah, I know. He actually, it was just an interesting story how he started.
So let me tell you what Netflix says about HD, and we can assume it, UHD will use roughly twice as much. It's 2.8 gigabytes per hour if you're watching HD. So you're going to save 5 or more gigabytes per hour. Now, first of all, if you've got 250 gigabyte caps, you probably shouldn't be doing more than a few movies a month.
One.
Second, because you're talking 10 gigabytes a movie. Second, I don't know anybody who has bandwidth like that.
So that would be five, because 3D would be this.
3D is 4.7 gigs.
And 3D is twice as...
4K.
Right.
Right, because it has two frames. So what is 5 gigabytes per hour in bits?
Per second.
It's about 12 to 13 megabits per second, of course.
Is it that high?
Is that right?
That seems high.
Times eight.
Marcus, you're young. Can you do the math
for
us?
Yeah, do the math while we sit here and vegetate.
It's 15.6 megabits.
Okay.
So who has 15?
That doesn't sound right either.
15.6, you may say, oh, I have Comcast Burst. That's 20 megabits. It's not sustained. In fact, very few people can really do a sustained 15 megabits. Google Fiber, maybe. Mm-hmm. So it's not a practical solution. I don't know why Netflix is getting so much coverage for this, so few people can see it. Sony also said we'll be streaming for it.
I do not believe that number, by the way. I'm sure it's lower than that. I'm thinking it's more around the...
defer to the chat.
Five.
When in doubt, always go to the chat.
They're all giving us different numbers, but I'm guessing you can... I'll find out from somebody who knows what they're talking about, who actually is practical information.
According to GigaOm.
I bet you. Yeah, GigaOm. They did a calculation. That's all they did. I think it's about five.
Really that low? If it's that low, that's good. Although if you look at the ISP report from Netflix, very few people can give you sustained five
megabits. Is rough, yeah.
Stuff. We're going to take a break. We're talking with Marcus Brownlee of MKBHD, the YouTube channel that is second only to PewDiePie in fan love. Tell me, Marcus, do you look at PewDiePie and go, why didn't I think of swearing while watching video games? Why didn't I think of that?
I don't play as many games, so I don't even... there's tons of only gaming YouTube channels
big.
Out there that get a ton of viewers, and that's cool, but I don't watch any of them, I'm not a gamer.
This is why Marcus is so productive.
That's probably part of it. I don't watch much
totally
TV
convinced.
Either, so people always ask...
I think PewDiePie just broke a record. He's the number one most subscribed YouTube channel. And didn't he just go over whatever it was, 15...
20 million subscribers.
20 million subscribers. Holy cow.
That's a lot of people.
They're all... By the way, Marcus, I just want to tell you, they're all 10. Because I know. Because I have an 11-year-old in the house. That's all he watches, PewDiePie. And he chortles.
He chortles?
he
is that actually what it is?
Chortles.
He goes...
That's a word.
What, is he an old British man?
No. He watches PewDiePie. PewDiePie says a bad word. He goes, he chortles.
That's good.
It's the only way to describe it. Also with us, Natalie Morris. She is the, what is it, tech mommy? What is it that you do? What's that called?
Yeah, I'm not doing so much on Crash Test Mom these days.
You're not?
I'm not quite as active as I once was, but I'm going back to NBC actually.
What?
So I've been working, I'm a contributor at NBC and CNBC, and also I'm the tech contributor, the one and only, for the Queen Latifah show as well. I know you watch that.
That is exciting. Would you please?
Yeah, it is.
Would you please?
That's actually one of the fanciest things I did in 2013.
She's awesome. Do you call her the Queen?
I try not to refer to her at all because she hasn't invited me to call her Dana. And she refers to herself as that in conversation.
Yes.
But I don't know if to just call her Queen, so I just don't say her name a whole lot.
Hey,
it's
Queenie.
Kind of like royalty, like real royalty.
Queenie. By the way, good news, just renewed for a second season.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Yeah. I love her.
I do too, actually.
So you're the official...
She's one of the only people that I've been starstruck to meet. Her and actually, well, Joe Biden... As well.
Joe Biden, the guy's never made a right decision in the entire career.
Oh, shut up.
I'm just saying.
John, don't start. That was a very exciting time for me, my White House gig.
You were at the White House. You went to the White House. Tell us about that. That was recent.
Yes, Skype and being sponsored a series of discussion questions with politicians called Ask the White House. So I was asked to moderate the discussion, and people sent in their questions over Skype. And the panel was about immigration. The goal is that they'll do more about different topics, but it was with Cecilia Munoz, who's the director of public policy. And the vice president got word of it, and he was like, I want to participate too. Because, you know, they're really pushing their immigration bill. And so he asked to sit in. I had never done any work at the White House before. That was really exciting for me. So if you want to see it, you can go to bing.com/White House.
Ask the vice president.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to just say I've never done any work at the White House, so this was a real high for me.
Yeah,
I know. Look at me looking all professional there. I'm really proud of that.
Now wait, now tell me about this room that you're in.
3 weeks ago.
What is the story with this room?
That is in the executive offices of the White House, and it used to be the office of. I'm going to blank. It's the Secretary of Defense, which used to be the Secretary of War. And it's no longer.
Oh, going back to the Roosevelt administration.
No, it goes back to the Civil War, actually.
But he was the Secretary of War. He wasn't even in Roosevelt, I think.
I think it was the last of it.
What's his name? He ran against Roosevelt. What's his name? Come on, history books.
Well, four different people ran against Roosevelt.
Henry Stimson.
No, he
was Secretary of State. I'm just looking at the chat room.
I'm looking at the chat room too. Come on, chat room. Let's go.
There he is. There's President Biden and his sign language interpreter. That's exciting. Who is she?
Is it that black guy who just makes it up?
Who is this woman?
I just told you who she was. Her name is Cecilia Munoz.
She was the Secretary of War. Oh, okay.
Here you go. Secretary of War. They got it right. Fidel Castro. This is the chat room. Thank you, chat room. Very good.
Taft.
William Howard Taft?
Taft. Yes.
Oh.
I knew my husband would know.
Did Clayton come running in and says, oh, that was William Howard Taft. He was Secretary of War.
I don't remember Taft running against Roosevelt.
Clayton has a minor in history, and he reads history books for fun, so I knew he would.
Is he in the other room watching? He's watching the football game, isn't he?
No, I have four messages, all caps, on iMessage. Taft!
When did Taft run against Roosevelt?
Oh, it doesn't matter. It's all history. That's what matters. It's the history of the world.
Because he ran against Hoover, then he ran against Wendell Willkie, then he ran against Smith.
This, Natalie, this is so cool.
Thank you. Thanks.
Did he offer to put his arm around you and get a selfie?
No.
Okay.
Not. And that was the same morning that story broke, actually.
Which one? The selfie or him putting the arm around the lady with the
selfie at the Nelson Mandela funeral?
Yeah.
That story broke that morning when I was in Washington. So it felt like kind of a buzzy day in Washington.
So is this William Howard Taft's office?
It was.
He was so fat, he had a special chair made.
Yeah, he's a big fat guy.
Big fat guy.
Yeah. Huge.
In fact, I remember seeing his bathtub. It was like extra large.
You saw his bathtub?
Yeah. I don't know where.
How does that work?
I
take a shower.
It's back when I worked in the White House.
The guy was so fat, he had his own zip code.
No, you could do better than that.
That's an old, I stole it.
You could do better than that. there he is, Secretary of War, William Howard Taft. In fact, he initiated the second occupation of Cuba. So those of you who said Fidel Castro,
right. Never close.
I understand
the
confusion.
Taft was Roosevelt's
Secretary of War
and then ran against him.
He was president, of course, briefly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're talking about Roosevelt, not Roosevelt. There's the bathtub, by the way.
Oh, the old Roosevelt, the original
That's
Roosevelt.
That's the bathtub. Where is that? Because I have seen that. It is Taft's bathtub.
It's just like a bathtub. It doesn't look anything special.
It's extra big. For those days, this was this turn of the century. They didn't have
but
big
Taft. But his portliness goes forward, not out. So you don't need a big bathtub for that.
Take a shower, my friend.
That's what I always say. The portly. There, see, you get four people in that bathtub.
Oh, it was a small boat.
Rub-a-dub-dub. Secretary
Ward
in a tub.
Tub.
We're going to take a break.
About time.
That was the best innovation of that year's CES.
Winner of the CES Innovation Award for 1904.
Got it. You're right. Bull Moose, Roosevelt was running in the Bull Moose. He ran against
Taft. As an independent.
The original Roosevelt. I'm just thinking of Franklin.
Yeah, we're not thinking Franklin. We're Teddy.
Sorry about that.
And that's why it's Roosevelt, not Roosevelt. Teddy was Roosevelt. Did you know that?
No, actually, I did not know that.
Yeah, Teddy was a Roosevelt, and his
Let's
cousin Franklin
Clayton.
Was
Hang
a Roosevelt.
On. Clayton,
See, Clayton knows. Clayton knows. He's listening. Ladies and gentlemen, our show today brought to you by LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom.com. It's not a law firm. It's better. It lets you get the legal stuff you need to do done without paying for a high-priced attorney. It's personalized, affordable legal protection. Now, I'm thinking we've got some enterprising people here on the show today. And many of you are watching. I highly recommend starting your own business. It's the best thing I ever did. A lot of fun. And, of course, the first thing I did, I asked my friend, Kevin Rose. I went to Kevin, who started many a business. I said, he said, go to LegalZoom, get an LLC. $99. I said, okay, thank you. You can also get a corporation, Chapter S or Chapter C corporation. I also got TWIT trademarked, the logo and the name, for $169. You can get personal stuff too, last will and testament. Now, here's something new. This is something recently added. You can get connected with a third-party attorney. The LegalZoom legal plan pre-negotiates for a flat fee, advice from an attorney in your state. And you can choose that attorney based not only on their profile, but unedited reviews from LegalZoom customers. This is a great, great thing to know about. If you're starting your own business, if you want to protect your family, protect yourself, over a million entrepreneurs have done just as I did and gone to LegalZoom.com to get their business started. 90% of LegalZoom customers recommend LegalZoom to family and friends. That's a very high number. Very good deal. No surprise fees, no hassles, no headaches. Go to LegalZoom.com. Use our discount code TWIT just to let them know you heard about it on TWIT, and we'll give you $10 off at checkout. Really is a great place. Good to know about when you start your business. LegalZoom.com. Marcus, have you incorporated? Or are you an LLC? Or
maybe this year. Not yet.
Yeah. I think it's time. You've obviously got a trademark. Empire going.
Yeah.
It's pretty
exciting. Probably trademark it.
MKBHD.
Yeah.
If for no other reason, I learned this the hard way, that since I'm a freelancer too, if you incorporate, then it's easier to get a loan if you want to buy a house or something, because otherwise you need 3 years stated income for a certain, you know, whatever. But now interest rates seem to be changing so fast in the year 2014. So anyone who might want to get any kind of loan should incorporate, because it's easier to prove.
Yeah.
When you've got an LLC.
Yeah. So did you know that this week is the seventh anniversary? Is that right? Seventh anniversary of the iPhone announcement at Macworld Expo. I remember going to see this at the Moscone Center West. Steve Jobs. It was such an amazing moment. I want to go back a little bit and play for you. 7 years ago. How old were you? You were 13, Marcus. Did you?
Seven. Yeah.
Were you paying attention to this kind of stuff then?
Remember that. I remember the day that a reporter was interviewing a guy who just got his iPhone stolen during the video, the original iPhone. I actually remember someone getting one in one of my classes and like bringing it into school, which was a terrible idea. I remember that.
But he was the star that day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me play a little bit of this, because this was an amazing moment.
Is a widescreen iPod with touch.
I remember this.
This is probably, I would say, this is arguably the greatest moment in product keynote history. And this is Steve Jobs at his absolute peak.
Three revolutionary products of this class.
Now, everybody in the room knows that we're there probably for an iPhone announcement. Nobody yet knew exactly what, but we didn't know what it was going to be called, but it was pretty.
Is this the time you were filming it?
No. This is before that. I was sitting next to Scott Bourne, Merlin Mann, Alex Lindsay. We had just gone to Macworld. We were sitting in this keynote, and it's really palpable excitement, because everybody's wondering, what is Apple going to do in this space?
Is a widescreen iPod
three
with
new
touch
products,
control.
He says. People are excited.
About the iPod.
A widescreen iPod. Isn't really. Watch Steve, because he's eating this.
The second is a revolutionary mobile phone.
Okay. Now the crowd's saying, what could that be? Three products.
Excited people.
Ooh.
And the third is a breakthrough internet communications device.
Kind of mild applause. They're like, what?
Like, what does that mean?
What?
He needed three.
Three things. A widescreen iPod with touch controls, a revolutionary mobile phone, and a breakthrough internet communications device.
One more time.
An iPod. A phone. And an internet communicator. An iPod. A phone. Are you getting it?
I still get chills.
These are not three separate devices. This is one device.
That was the favorite part.
And we are calling it iPhone. Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
And it looks like this.
You remember this, Marcus. You really do.
I do. That was my favorite part. For a split second, I was like,
what?
Okay,
yeah. What?
Actually, here it is. But
some people lip sync in their bedroom. He walks around to this.
Yeah.
Not to music, but to the keynote.
You could learn so much watching this keynote.
Ladies
this is
and gentlemen.
The way it should be done. And, you know, I brought out, because I was thinking about this, during this event, I was carrying this. This is the BlackBerry Curve, I think.
It's one of them.
Yeah.
That very same one?
Yeah, this is it. This is my Curve.
He keeps all his phones.
And then this is the first iPhone. And, you know, at first you go, well, wait a minute, where's the keyboard? And there wasn't an app store. You know, remember Steve said, oh, you don't need an app store. Everything, it's all going to be web apps. Mm-hmm. And then just to really highlight, I think, you know, somebody in the chat room said, oh, that wasn't an innovation, big deal. And then I said, well, yes, a year later, Google comes out with its first Android phone. This is it, the G1 from Google. And it's like, it was horrible. And it really underscored what a lead Apple had. 7 years ago this week, I just thought it'd be worth
It's interesting how quickly Google caught up.
Yeah, well, that's that. And, you know, Steve, I remember talking to Steve while he was in between jobs. He was at Pixar. And he said, you know, companies catch up. He said, we let Microsoft catch up. We had a huge lead when we came out with the Macintosh in 1984. 10 years later, Microsoft had caught up. He said by Windows 3.1, which you could argue, but certainly by Windows 95.
I wish Linux would catch up with Microsoft.
Linux has. It's called Android. We're all using Linux.
I'm talking about on these things. Substantial machines.
Yeah. Well, Marcus and I have the machine. Marcus hasn't set his up yet.
Yeah.
Are you excited?
I'm excited.
The Mac Pro is here. It came square.
I'm excited for you. Show us.
It's at home. Marcus, do you have yours?
No, Marcus has his. Show us.
Are you going to unbox it?
It's up here. I can show you if I turn this a little bit.
It looks like a room deodorant.
Were you surprised by how small it was, Marcus?
Not because I'd expect it. I've watched pretty much every video on the internet of it already while waiting for it. So I knew exactly how heavy it was going to feel, because everyone who takes out the box says, wow, it's kind of heavy. Yeah. So I knew it was going to be heavy.
Yeah.
But I've started my videos about it and my impressions about it. So we'll see how that goes.
I want to thank, I did not know enough. I think it was December 19th they put it on sale. And if you happen to be up at midnight, mm-hmm. You could order it and get it in a timely time frame. You must have done that, Marcus.
Yep.
But if you waited till the next morning, I didn't know. So I got up in the morning and I said, oh, and I ordered it February.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, I'm not going to order it. Maybe it'll come out. They said it'll be available December 31st. Maybe I'll be able to walk into a store. No, I don't think you still can walk into a store and get it. Fortunately, one of our viewers, Ed Ingber, I hope I'm saying your name right. Thank you, Ed. He actually had ordered one. Got buyer's remorse, said, you know, I don't really want it. I'm going to get an iMac. Would you like it? I said,
He just gave it to you.
No, I paid him. But it's exactly what I would have bought. Basically, the base unit. Did you, Marcus, did you load it up?
Basically, yeah. I chose the 8-core fully loaded. So dual D700s, terabyte
SSD.
He's
doing video. He needs all the power he can get.
Got to get me a YouTube channel. My God.
It's all about the graphics cards, honestly. The CPU and graphics, because rendering video and while you're editing uses a lot of the GPU. Yes. So that's
especially 4K video. That's gonna slow
especially 4K
so
video.
So now you can. You can hook up that
I'll bet you that'll slow it down.
Mm-hmm.
Did you look at the other 4K monitors? Lenovo announced an $800 4K monitor.
Yeah, I've looked at a lot of 4K monitors because I've right now I'm using a 2560 by 1600 display, which I like a lot. But every time I come back from using the Retina MacBook Pro to this, it just looks like I can see pixels, and it's disappointing. Oh. So I was scouting basically all the 4K display choices for when the Mac Pro would eventually come, because this is actually a DVI display, and it doesn't have HDMI, it doesn't have DisplayPort, and the Mac Pro doesn't have a DVI port. So I was like, I'm not going to use this display with Apple's terrible adapter. I've tried that before. So I ended up choosing the ASUS PQ321Q, which is a 31.5-inch 4K display, 4096 by 2160, which will take DisplayPort, actually. So it'll go DisplayPort into Mini DisplayPort or Thunderbolt in the Mac Pro, which I think is the same panel as the Sharp, which is also a 31.5-inch 4K display. I saw Dell was planning on releasing a 28-inch 4K display for under $1,000. I think it's somewhere around $800, but it would only support up to like a 30 hertz refresh rate. And that's a big thing, is the refresh rate that a lot of these support, the Seiki.
Yeah, they're 30, right?
30 hertz, yeah.
Terrible.
So I had to narrow it down to one that would go at least 60 hertz.
So does the 321Q do 60 hertz?
It does 60 hertz through a weird technology called MST, or multi-stream transport, where there's two controllers in the monitor that'll take inputs through the DisplayPort cable. And essentially, it's two 1920 by whatever half the display is. There's half a controller for each half of the panel.
Oh, that makes sense.
And through that, it'll do 60 hertz at 4K.
Well, there you go.
And how much is this? Just out of curiosity. It's got to be $3,000,
right? It keeps dropping. It's dropping a little more in price than the Sharp, but I think I got it right under $3,000.
Yeah, the Sharp is $3,500. Sharp is as much as the Mac Pro.
This is the guy who's going to put you out of business.
Oh, no, I know. That's why we're talking to him. Ladies and gentlemen, you've just seen the future, and it isn't me.
Well, it used to be. You used to be like this guy. Knowledge at the tip, you know, the right boom, boom, boom. You were sharp. You were fast. You were ready to rock. And now... nothing.
Thanks, John.
Pointing it out.
I really appreciate it.
Well, not much you can do.
This looks pretty nice. Now, it's interesting because you got a 31.5-inch monitor at 3840 by 2160. That means pixel per inch is only 140 pixels per inch. So we're so used to 300 and even 400 dots per inch on our handsets. But of course you're at arm's length, I guess. But do you think you're going to be satisfied with that?
I think so. I'm currently using a 30-inch and a 20-inch, so I think a 31.5-inch will not be too much of an adjustment. The only thing is switching from two displays, which I constantly keep divided and organized, to one display in Mac OS X might be a little weird. So I'm considering a second display, but it could get funky or janky having a low detail display next to a high one.
John, stop rubbing it in. I already tried to hire the guy. I can't. He's too good. So what you really need, Marcus, is two 321Qs side by side.
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
I think that if I like the first one enough, that's probably going to happen. But I have to see.
All right, onward.
Onward and upward.
Or
sideways. You know what? Before we go on, we should really take a look at some of the fabulous stuff that happened this week. Our own CES coverage.
Is this a house ad?
Oh, baby.
Huh.
Take a look.
Previously on Twit. Twit Live Specials.
I'm Father Robert Ballester, the digital Jesuit, here with Twit TV's coverage of CES 2014.
Let's just keep it in the box. It's not light.
There it is.
Oh.
Home Theater Geeks.
This week, I'm coming to you live from CES in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada.
Curved is very big, and UHD is very big and popular as well. So it's really exciting for all of our potential customers.
All about Android.
The Miwa PlayKey is a device, an HDMI device, similar to the Chromecast. We're planning on designing a device with the community.
This week in Google.
The shell pops right off.
Oh, the music's going to make me shoot myself.
The jacks light up when you move it.
It's like Benny Hill.
Twit. Friends don't let friends miss Twit.
You're going to drop it.
Thanks, Leo. The most important event this week is the launch of Twit's evening news show called Tech News Tonight, which starts Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific. The Biotech Showcase begins in San Francisco on Monday the 13th. Tokyo's Automotive World Show starts Wednesday the 15th, and the DLD conference, DLD stands for Digital Life Design, begins on Sunday the 19th in Munich, Germany. That's what's coming up. Back to you, Leo.
Thank you, Mr. Mike Elgin. Catch TNT every morning, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC. And Tech News Tonight makes its debut on Monday. That's at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. 4 plus 12 is 16 plus 8 is 2,300. Is that right?
22.
20, thank you. 2,200 UTC. We have a lot of CES stuff, by the way. You can catch all of Father Robert Ballester, Dick DiBartolo, and Scott Wilkinson's CES coverage right there. There was automotive news at CES, too, but the big automotive story was Alan Mulally saying, nope, I'm not going to be CEO at Microsoft. That was the drumbeat. Although, the way he said it and the way Wall Street Journal reported it, I got the strong feeling that he actually did want the job, but eventually decided against it. The Journal says he soured on the Microsoft job in part because of what he perceived to be leaks from Microsoft about the search process. Journal also has been saying that nobody wants the job because of the dynamics of the Microsoft board, including the fact that Steve Ballmer and Bill Gates are still on the board. So you'd have the two previous CEOs breathing down your neck, and nobody wants that. John, you follow Microsoft. Is that credible? Do you think that Gates and Ballmer would be an inhibition on the next CEO?
Absolutely. John Thompson is the guy to watch.
He's one of the directors. He's the guy doing the CEO search, former IBMer.
Common thing you see it. These guys do the search. Eventually,
he pulls a Cheney.
Yeah.
Pulls a Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney did it.
We looked, Mr. President, we looked everywhere. We couldn't find anybody, so I'm going to nominate myself. You think that's what Thompson's going to do?
Yeah.
Because you know what? I don't know who they're going to find. Mulally.
Thompson's perfect. He's in the business. He's a software guy. He's got plenty of creds, better than all these other guys. He's just a shoo-in. I don't know why, and nobody's talking about him except me.
You're the one who said that he would be the guy. Well, now that Mulally's out of the picture, you're looking at three insiders at least. Tony Bates, who came there with the Skype acquisition.
Yeah.
He's biz dev guy right now.
Bad.
Satya Nadella, who's an engineer who's been around for a while.
Yeah. Nah.
And perhaps, and this would be kind of a dark horse, Stephen Elop, who was a former Microsofter, went
maybe
to Nokia.
Maybe he wrecked the company.
Wrecked Nokia, then came back to Microsoft with the acquisition.
Yeah. That's
you're right. They got nothing.
No, they got John Thompson.
Is there anybody outside, some wild card that they could, maybe an Eric Schmidt or I don't know.
This has been done, beaten to death by every analyst in the world, especially in all the stock market rags. And no one's come up with anybody that makes sense. I've always thought that it was going to be hard to replace Ballmer because he's a singular person. Bring in Gordon Eubanks and have him take over the place.
There's a reference that nobody but you and I get.
Well,
is Eubanks still around?
Well, he's not dead, if that's what you mean.
Gil Emilio. Still not working. He's out there.
Now, that would be good.
Chainsaw Al Dunlap.
John Scully still works for a living. He's in Florida
John
now.
John Scully, be good.
Carrot Top, it's another possibility.
What about Sheryl Sandberg, if she's so interested in leaving?
Now, that's an Now, wait a minute. Don't poo-poo that. She's the COO at Facebook. Wrote last year's big hit business book, Lean In.
She wants to lean in. She's got the experience. Go ahead.
Yeah,
Her experience, though, is running a social media company. It's not exactly the same as a...
Not hardly.
But no, before that, she was at Google.
Another software company.
Right, but...
Well, that's really more of an advertising company.
Yeah.
Okay, but...
I appreciate... I appreciate what you're saying, Natalie. Why don't we just put Hillary Clinton in the job?
Don't start with Hillary
Clinton. Meg Whitman's available?
No, she's not.
Oh. She's running what? eBay?
No, she's still at HP.
Oh, HP! I forgot about that.
Give Michael Dell the
job.
William Howard Taft.
Let's put him in.
All they have to do is increase the size of the executive washroom, and they're good. They're
no,
good
I'm
to
saying
go.
There's nobody. You can come up with names left and right, and it's John Thompson.
That would be
okay, John. How much time have you spent in headhunting? Like, we don't know who's in the woodworks. We have this illusion that it has to be a big name,
right?
We've heard of, but
I think it kind of does.
He groomed Tim Cook and molded him in his likeness.
Well, no one's done that at Microsoft. They have never molded
that guy. No, they have not done that. Right. And it's really bad for their goodwill. But at the same time, we don't know what talent lies beneath.
Hey.
Right? We're not recruiters.
Chris Christie.
Queen Latifah.
Ashton Kutcher. Let's get down to it here.
Now, this is an interesting question.
Bruno, I
want a written apology from you, Natalie, after John Thompson gets the job.
But isn't it?
Why do I have to apologize to you?
I don't know.
I'm just saying you don't.
I think you're right.
There headhunting. You don't know.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right.
You can say that about everything.
Really, we don't know.
We're only on this show to do speculation.
To pontificate about what we do not know about. Right. Which
that's
you and
exactly
I are very
right.
Good about. But still, there's a whole.
Well, do you know? So wait,
there.
Stop, Natalie. Natalie, do you know something we don't know? Because you sound like you do.
She's been hanging out in the halls of
ABC. I'm optimistic. Damn it.
Queen Latifah.
What, you don't like John Thompson? That's an optimistic
pick. Can I ask an intelligent question briefly here? I don't want to interrupt the flow.
Right. You don't want to.
I don't want to derail you.
How is this going to happen?
How important in a very public company like Microsoft is picking a CEO that is known, that is somebody people... And I think of Yahoo, which really, with a masterstroke, said Marissa Meyer. And that was about one of the few things they could do that could perhaps change their fortunes because she was such a public face. Isn't it the case that Microsoft needs to pick a name? It can't be some gray suited guy.
This is a question that has the answer within the question.
Which is? Yes?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, well, okay. And then here's the next step of that question is, do they have to have star power?
Yes.
Because that's not always the same thing. A good politician doesn't always have good speaking abilities, but these days we expect that and we undercut people who don't have stage presence. And so do we want someone who's going to run around clapping and screaming developers or who's going to do one more thing? Or, you know, I know we were a little hard on Marissa Meyer this week because... Yeah. You know, like, was her speech cool enough? How much presentation do we really need? We need execution in that role.
But I think when you look at Steve
really
Jobs,
does.
When you look at that speech by Steve Jobs, there was a CEO who did it all. He could help shape a product that really did transform a space, and then he could market it in a way that no one else could. Now, admittedly, there's no other
salesman.
He was a brilliant salesman, and Ballmer's supposedly a salesman. He really didn't sell very well.
Well, I don't know
but
about
that's,
that.
That's the. I guess my question is: do they need
Tim
a front
Cook
man,
is a
or do they need a drummer?
Guy. He went to business school,
right?
And don't you think? I mean, the
and
role
frankly, he's
of
dry
CEO
and dull.
In just my business books 101 say the role of CEO is more of the finance guy, the executor, right. The make sure all ships run on time, not the sales guy. So is that role then changing?
I guess that's the question. That's exactly the question. Much better put, but that's exactly the question I'm asking. Is that you need star? Do you need star power, or do you need a great administrator? You can get your COO can be a great administrator. Your president. You know, you can.
This is a public company that's preoccupied with at least the shareholders are preoccupied with the price of this stock. It has not done well over the last 10 years. They're not going to put up with some dullard, as you guys would have it, that would come in and just be a good, you know, guy who knows how to dot the I's. They have to have somebody that has some cred, and that's only John Thompson.
There aren't a lot of people out there.
But what do you mean by cred, though? Because you can have a very impressive vitae, but just have no star power or name brand recognition.
He's got name brand.
I'm not talking about this
person.
How about
General Petraeus?
You know, you may actually, I don't think it would ever be him, but you may be on the right track.
Somebody from the military with great logistics background.
It's always a possibility.
Management background.
Except for the girls.
Colin Powell.
No, Powell less so.
He's a little too old at this point.
How about, Bill Clinton? Well, now we got the chat rooms completely off the rails.
All right, let's talk about the keynote. Marissa
Will
Meyer.
I am. Yeah.
Okay. Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby.
Ditka.
I'm wearing a Cosby sweater. I think that's a... So, is that why you thought of that, Marcus?
A little bit.
What, did you go to any of the big speeches, the keynotes, or did you eschew those, Marcus?
Press day was... I went to 3.
What do you think?
I went to LG... Sharp and Intel.
You missed Michael Bay's Samsung meltdown.
Yeah.
It wasn't a meltdown.
As soon as I couldn't be at Intel and Samsung because they were back to back. So I chose Intel, got out of line for it, saw the line to get into Samsung, said no, went back to the hotel, and then saw that meltdown and was.
It's not a meltdown.
Never skip a Samsung show. Something that's a message, horrible yeah. always happens.
I think it was on purpose. But it wasn't a meltdown. It was just a choke.
So Michael Bay comes out. He's, of course, the director of the Transformers movies. He is standing next to an executive vice president of Samsung. According to Bay's blog, he skips a big chunk of the introduction and goes right into it.
My job as a director is I get to dream for a living.
Now, he knew that line. But the prompter is now lost.
Right.
And Natalie, you've worked with prompter. John, you've worked with prompter. If you have a prompter operator who says, I don't know what the hell's going on, and starts to turn the knob a lot.
Every which way.
You're screwed.
Well, it depends. And whether you can, if you've taken a little improv once in your life, you can just carry on. I mean, you're like the perfect example. I'll tell people this.
I hate prompters.
He is like, he gets the prompter. I've watched him work with a prompter. And he'll go off prompter most of the time. And the prompter operator has to be very special.
They hate it. Of course they do.
But they manage to worm their way around. They get you back on track and you come back into it. But Bay apparently needed this thing to be right on the money if this is not a scam.
It's not a scam. Although I got to say they got a more publicity out of it than they would have otherwise. This is the.
You know, you're known for such unbelievable action. What inspires you? How do you come up with these unbelievable ideas?
I create visual worlds that are so beyond everyone's normal life experiences. And Hollywood is a place that creates a viewer escape. And what I try to do is...
I really feel for the guy.
You can hear his voice breaking up
now.
Yeah. I try to...
When the prompter's doing that, and if you don't know what the hell you're supposed to be saying, you're pretty much done, right? What are you going to do?
Yeah, you're done.
You're done.
That's what he did. He's
walked. Standing in front of a 105-inch screen TV. I hope they give him the TV.
It's probably part of the deal. I'm sure he gets a TV.
The type is all off. Sorry, but I'll just wing this.
No, you
Tell
won't.
Us what you think.
Yeah.
No, you won't.
We'll wing it right now.
All the phones come up.
Yeah, did you see that? And, yeah. Let's get a shot of this. Ooh. It's not going well.
He's blowing it. It's
another Samsung moment.
How does it? How do you think it's going to impact... How viewers experience your movies?
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Just walks off the stage.
He's out.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to take the Transformer series and screw it up like I have been all along. And that's all you need to know, whether the screen is curved or not.
I like how the guy tried to like prompt him with a little improv. And what he came up with was the curve.
The curve. It's curved.
The curve.
You can see this in front of you right now. So apparently, I don't know how much Michael Bay, he was embarrassed. He apologized in his blog. I don't know how much he was getting paid, but he is going around now on tour with this 105-inch TV and clips of the Transformers series. So I had heard a rumor, $1.5 million. Does that sound?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have done it for the TV, guys. And if the prompter broke, I could have kept going.
That's true. You could have.
I wouldn't have said anything important.
Your name's not Michael Bay.
No.
Right, but Michael Bay is, in a sense, a CEO of his own brand.
We're back on that.
The CEO. Right. He needs to be able to do this. He works in the entertainment industry. What are all the stories about what he made Megan Fox do? And
oh, I don't know.
And
what was this all about? Now we're getting
or
good.
Something. He's supposedly some super...
He's feuding with her.
Yeah, they got...
Megan Fox apologized to Michael Bay. Wait a minute.
This was a couple years ago.
It's been almost 4 years
what she had to do for her audition that he just made her feel. You know, he's the kind of guy.
She called Michael Bay Hitler.
In case you haven't noticed.
Hitler.
She called him. It's been almost 4 years since Steven Spielberg made Michael Bay fire Megan Fox after she called him Hitler, causing her career to basically flatline.
She said something like, oh, you know, it's not hard to act in a Michael Bay film because it requires so little
But wasn't
talent.
Boy, she that was the movie that made her was the first Transformers movie, wasn't it? I'd never heard of her until I saw her in short shorts messing with Bumblebee.
I'm glad you
But don't you think he should have some kind of screen presence? He goes out there promoting his stuff all the time.
No, he's a director.
He was in some kind of commercial where things blew up behind him. What was that? It was a car commercial or something.
Right.
Hmm. What was it?
I don't know. I never saw it.
Yeah, it was a big commercial. Like, I'm Michael Bay, and this is what I do. Like,
yeah, the prompter was working during those explosions. That's the difference.
That might have been better directed than the Samsung event.
So he fashions himself someone who can be in front of the camera. So this is unacceptable.
What's wrong? What's wrong with Samsung? Why do they have you contrast what Samsung does with their keynotes? That stupid Broadway show 6 months ago.
Verizon, you guys. It was a Verizon commercial.
A Verizon. All right. Why is it that Samsung has such a hard time making these work?
I think they're dumb.
Okay, that's a good reason. Meanwhile, Marissa Meyer does what everybody thought she should do. She talks mobile. She talks content. She drags Katie Couric out on stage.
She was a little weak, don't you think? I mean, Katie Couric made her look like she was made Marissa look a little amateurish. She was slick. She was pro. She came out. And
I don't know. Did you? So you watched this?
Yeah, it was. You can get a copy of it.
I'd like to see it.
David, she was a little nervous with Couric out there. David, she looked great out there, though. I think it was she represents the company well, and she just looks terrific.
David Pogue also came out on the stage. He received the most unfavorable scores of any Yahoo keynote presenter, according to Dial Smith. Well, people said he was preachy.
Pogue rubs a lot of people the wrong way.
I can't decide if he's the Jerry Lewis or the Benny Hill.
He looks like a tall Chris Perillo to me.
He's very Perillo-like. Yeah.
I thought it would suggest impact and drama and power. And
see this?
It just kind of looks like the cover of Dianetics.
Not
but
funny.
Anyway, so what I've been doing.
So he is launching the new and launched at CES the new Yahoo Tech page,
right?
This always bothers me. I'm curious what Marcus thinks about this. If you go to yahoo.com/tech, you can see it. They said, this is for people, we're not going to use big words here. This is for people, this is a main, accessible, we're going to go accessible. We're just mainstream.
So the word is that it was the last tweet or one before you guys just slammed this page over and over?
I feel like.
I see what you're up to.
No. I feel like. It seems to me, and I think, Marcus, you've done very well on YouTube by
like
not talking down to people. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a different audience. These are for dummies. This is tech for dummies, and it's probably going to do...
If it's for dummies, why cover CES at all?
Well, I agree with you.
The whole page is all about CES.
Well, that's the tech story now. I mean,
it's kind of... You know, some people say, I don't know, all the news shows have CES crap on them, and it's all generalized stuff. You're just like, oh, look what we got. We got a folding phone. Oh, look at the big screen.
Now, I got to say, chat room said
and
David's.
All of our viewers who watch that on the news are like, yeah, I've seen this all over the place. I'm just.
Maybe it's just two different audiences. The chat room saying that David's interview with John Legere, the CEO of T-Mobile, was very good.
Could be.
That's a big get, as we say in the TV.
I don't know why it would be.
Yet Legere's pretty much everywhere, isn't he? So let's talk about cell phone companies. AT&T announcing that it's going to do just like T-Mobile did and buy you out of your contract, but also announcing something that I'm a little nervous about, the idea that companies can pay for your excess bandwidth.
Oh, yeah.
Essentially, if you ask me, anti-net neutrality.
Probably. I think net neutrality is a dead duck.
Ledger, pardon me, I mispronounced it. It's not Legere. I mean, spell
I like Legere better.
Don't you think he looks like Legere?
Legere.
Hello, I am Jean Legere, COO of T-Mobile. I have a bald mullet.
He does? He has a bald mullet?
Yeah, it's really short in front and long in the back.
Not so much business.
Yeah, not so much business. A lot of party.
No business whatsoever.
But a lot of party. Yeah. All right, I'm done slamming.
That's the show
people.
Title continues.
Keep slamming people. I'd love to
no
when you slam people,
front.
Leo. It's so rare.
So I do it all the time. T-Mobile says they'll pay you $350 to leave AT&T, Sprint, or Verizon.
I like it
to cover your ETF fees.
That's how much people are worth.
But you get no subsidized phone.
Right, you got to buy the phone.
You get, you've got to. So that's right. Even more.
Well, there's phones out there.
AT&T. Meanwhile, announces sponsored data, and the chairman of the FCC, who oddly enough came from the cable industry, says, you know, well, I don't know.
The role
we'll have to watch this with interest.
Yeah, right. We'll keep an eye on it.
Tom Wheeler says, exactly. I'm keeping a close eye on it.
Well, Leo, why don't you flesh this out for us, though? Because the implications of having a content delivery system means that they could charge you not the market price for it now if they want to charge you for data. So if someone's using the Twit app, they're going to come back around and charge Twit. And there's no guarantee that they charge you market price. So this has to be something that makes you very nervous.
Well, I'll give you an example. I mean, since you brought up Twit, here would be an example that would be a problem for me. What if Yahoo, which has deep pockets, says to AT&T, we'll cover the costs of your customer, any of your customers that watch any of our content. In fact, something they're very likely to do, right? I can't do that, right? So when you watch Twit, you're using up bandwidth, but when you're watching Yahoo, you're not. Is that a fair use of the internet? Is that how the internet was designed? Is that, or is it just business? I mean, you could make the case, look, AT&T is a business. It would certainly be bad for me. It's a marketplace. AT&T could, you know.
It edges out the small guy. That's not a fair playing ground.
That's the negative. And right. I always felt like the internet should, one of the, you know, important, you could even say foundational principles of the internet is it's democratic. That it gives everybody, look at Marcus. Marcus is a great example. Here's a guy, 20-year-old guy, who says, you know what? I'm going to make videos about technology. I'm going to do reviews. And because he does such great reviews, he's built an audience based on free bandwidth from YouTube. And he's got a business. And that's what the internet's all about. And what AT&T is saying, well, maybe if you have deep pockets, you should be giving us a little bit more. And the rest of you, you know, that's not, puts us at a disadvantage. Now, Marcus, you don't have to worry because you got YouTube on your side. You are on YouTube. And of course, if somebody can pay, it'll be YouTube.
This is supposition.
But what if he doesn't want to? What if he wants to break free of that because he has to share revenue
precisely
with YouTube? What if he wants to start his own thing and not share the revenue?
It makes it much harder to do. If Marcus wanted to do what we're doing here, basically we'd have to say, I can't. I have to stay in under the umbrella of some big stakeholder. Otherwise, I can't do it.
You'll be screwed.
I'll be screwed. Let's take a break. We got much more to talk about. Marcus Brownlee is here. MKBHD. I'm getting faster. Say it once for us.
That's about as fast as I say it, MKBHD.
MKBHD.
Yeah.
That's good. I like it. JCD TV. John C. Dvorak.
NoAgendaShow.com.
No agenda. NASDC.
Yeah, that's it.
JCD if the NASDC. Is
it? Something like
that. It's good. See, you plug like that.
By the way, talking about plugs like that, the real Dvorak, I need more Twitter followers. It's flatlined.
I find that hard to believe.
It's flatlined.
How could that be? By the way, please stop sending me notes that my daughter's Twitter account was hacked by Russian spammers. I know. I'm trying to convince her. Yeah.
Cool.
I texted her this morning. Abby, can you change your password? She said, yeah, well, I'll get around to it later. Maybe this is what you need, John.
What, a Russian spammer?
To hack your account.
Well, I don't think so.
Everybody should follow The Real Dvorak in case a Russian spammer hacks his account. Then you'll be the first to know.
If you tell me, I probably won't, you know, notice it.
The Real Dvorak. He's the number one Twitter user with a blue and green icon for an avatar.
Yes, it's true. It's a fact.
You're the only one.
No, I think there's others.
I don't know. Seems like you own blue and green.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Square circle.
Why don't you get a proper headshot, John?
Yeah, what is this?
That is a headshot.
That's not a headshot.
If you're a green dot.
Really close up.
I had to just camera set funny.
White balance is off.
Yeah, something's off. Natalie Morris is also here of, well, what do we say of NBC News?
Of a bunch of different stuff.
I don't care if it's true or not. NBC News, Natalie Morris is here.
That's not true, and don't get me in trouble.
Yeah, everybody gets all concerned about these fake monikers.
Chad, every time Natalie comes on, I want you to go, dong, dong, dong. And now, from NBC News, Natalie Morris.
Da, filling da, in for da, the da, seventh da, hour da, of the Today da, Show.
From the Queen Latifah Show, Natalie Morris. Our show brought to you by GoToMeeting. It's a new year. You want to start it off right, working smarter, getting more done easier. GoToMeeting is the way to do it. You can meet and collaborate with clients and colleagues anywhere they are. even if you're miles apart, it's as good as meeting in person because you're going to see them in crystal clear HD video. You're going to see their screen or they're going to see your screen. If you've got a PowerPoint presentation, boom, they can see it and they can see you. You'll cut back on time and money wasted on business travel. Don't get stuck in the snow like everybody did this year at CES. Get it done from wherever you are. You'll be more productive. Your communications will be better. And GoToMeeting works not only on your Mac or your PC, but many mobile devices. You can actually present from an iPad. It'll use the iPad's microphone, audio, and even camera. So you could be anywhere and meeting. Start the new year right with a free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting. And when I say free, I mean free. You don't even need a credit card to get started. Just go to GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use our name, TWIT. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code TW. You guys, see, you got to click that link to open the little window. TWIT. Just do that so we get credit. That's all. You got to try it. GoToMeeting.com. Meeting is believing. And everybody should also, as long as I'm plugging, follow The Real Dvorak.
Yes.
At The Real Dvorak. Apple wins. Motorola sued saying, hey, Apple, Google has patented something, I don't know what, and six patents. They won initially, but on appeal, the patents were on, they've lost. The controlled delivery of data to an application on a wireless device. Federal Circuit Court said the commission, they lost, I guess. The ITC was correct to rule that Apple did not use the same technique. Apple did not infringe. I don't normally report on patent cases, but I think it's kind of important to keep score.
I guess.
And one for Apple.
Yeah, it's about right.
One for Samsung. One for Motor. So right now, it's Apple 2-0 late in the fourth quarter. Did you see the new Apple ad? Apparently, you can make iPad, your iPad makes you into a poet. See, this looks like your rig, Marcus. Here we are, out in the middle of nowhere. And I've got... Don't. Please, folks, do not do this. Do not put your iPad on a tripod.
Yeah, please.
Please.
We read and write poetry because we are members of the human race. And the human race is filled with passion.
Is that Robin Williams?
No, I don't think so.
Medicine, law, business, engineering... These are noble pursuits necessary to sustain life.
It's from Dead Poets Society.
Oh, it is Robin Williams.
Maybe it is.
Dead
yeah,
Poets
you're right.
Society.
Beauty. Either that or it's a sound alike.
This is not Here's to the Crazy Ones. This is Tim Cook's attempt.
Stay alive for.
This is terrible.
To quote from Whitman, oh me, oh life of the questions of the...
This is really bad.
This is really bad.
Of the endless
I don't even know what to
think. Faithless.
It's bad.
Cities filled with the foolish. What good amid these, oh me, oh life? Answer, you are here.
Don't take pictures with your iPad. Don't take pictures with your iPad.
That the powerful play goes on and you...
Does this commercial ever end?
It's just random images with a random quote from a random movie.
Goes on and you... may contribute a verse. What will your verse
this,
be?
This is all. This is like a one giant non sequitur.
It's like a joke. This is the best iPad ad we've ever made.
Well, at worst, it's hyperbole.
At worst.
At best.
Supreme Court will be hearing the Aereo case. This is going to be interesting.
This is
I don't
a
know
great,
what to
great,
think.
Great case.
I don't know what to think, whether the Supreme Court will get this or not. Aereo is Barry Diller's company. They invented the idea that you have these little dime-sized antennas. You put an array of them in a building in New York, and then you rent them, and people can watch local over-the-air television.
I've been trying
television.
To get an account with them for, I don't know, since they came up with the idea. They're very hard to get accounts with. It's almost just like they're just making trouble.
So somebody brought us, Dr. Mom, Lillian Banchik, brought us her iPad with Aereo. She's in the Long Island area. So can you get it? You can get Aereo, Marcus, can't you?
I have Aereo.
Well, how did you get it? I can't
He's
get
in
it.
New York. You have to be in the right city.
I thought you could get it anywhere.
No.
Technically, you should be able to get it anywhere.
That's one of the ways they get around this. You have to be in a locality where those antennas are, right, Marcus?
Yeah. I'm close enough that I'm, and every time I go in, it's nyc.aereo.com. So I'm in the NYC.
Right.
section.
We need.
Yes.
How does it work?
It's pretty basic. I just pick it. There's a list of 40 channels or so, and you can record some channels. I haven't used it for all that many things. I usually just watch a game or two or something when people are telling me to watch something. But I have it, so it's convenient to have because I don't pay for TV otherwise.
I was going to say, are you a cord cutter? So you are.
I am, yeah. Well, I never had a cord to cut in the first place.
Yeah, which is pretty common.
Growing up, did you have cable or antenna?
Had it, but never really watched anything.
See, another reason
Mom
why...
Mom and Dad, there's a secret.
No, this is a guy who's very productive.
Yep.
He doesn't play video games all day.
Marcus, do you play video games?
He doesn't watch idiotic television.
The first console I owned was the PS4, and I'm testing the PS4 and the Xbox One for review. So I technically am now playing video games as I'm reviewing these, but...
So you never played video games as a kid?
Never.
See, yeah. Again,
freak of nature.
So I missed out on some really intense conversations, but other than that, I don't think I missed out on much.
Were you homeschooled?
People argue all day.
No, you went to Columbia High School.
Right.
Were you not an outcast?
You could say that. I mean, I didn't. Every time my teammates would talk about, you know, remember this great game on this great old console, and or it would be revisiting playing them, so they'd have a Nintendo 64 and be playing Mario, or they'd play Mario Kart or something, and I would just watch because I don't know how to play. But any of the games I'd play now would be, I guess PC gaming in the little bit of it that I did would count because I've played racing simulators, I've played Need for Speed on Android, so I've played a couple, you know, driving games and stuff like that,
but that's
play a whole lot of games.
So, don't you love this guy?
Well, I'll tell you, should take some hints from him because you are always playing games, wasting your time
nonstop.
It's unbelievable to me how you even have keep the studio running
nonstop.
It's true. I'm surprised you have time to do the show.
So the Supreme Court is hearing this Aereo case. The justices agreed on Friday. It's ABC. Disney, I think CBS is among the plaintiffs, and your company, Natalie, NBC. I'm sorry, I won't do that anymore. Natalie does not work for
NBC.
Speaking
on behalf of all of NBC, let me just say.
I won't do that. It's hard not to.
You're going
to
get her in trouble.
I don't want to get you in trouble, and I know how those guys are. So, no, Natalie does not speak for NBC, but the big networks are suing. They say we're gratified that the high court is taking the case. Aereo.
Onside's kick, and it worked.
I love that. It was one let yesterday, too.
Yeah, I know. It's, anyway, go on.
Aereo said it was our hope that the case would be decided on the merits and not through a wasteful war of attrition. We look forward to... Well, the war of attrition is almost over. There's nowhere to go after the Supreme Court. We have every confidence the court will validate and preserve a consumer's right to access local over-the-air television with an individual antenna, make a personal recording with a DVR, and watch that recording on a device of their choice. That's Aereo's position.
Yeah, it's an obvious scam. I like it.
They do the recording for you. They say, no, the users have control over the system, so... The DVR feature is theirs, not ours. I have to say, if the Supreme Court decides against Aereo, it is a miscarriage of justice. On the other hand, if they do decide in favor of Aereo, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox are all going to pull off their live over-the-air free broadcasts.
That's idiotic.
They're going to say, "Well,
that's
fine."
That's a ridiculous situation.
That's what they say.
This reminds me of the national championship college football game that was only on ESPN. ESPN, what a scandal that is, and nobody cares. It should have been on broadcast television. Broadcast television is a good thing.
It's a dying thing.
No, it's not.
Now it's interesting because CBS and Fox. And NBC, all three, I think, streamed the playoffs with various restrictions, and they apparently plan to stream the Super Bowl. I don't know if – I think some of them, I think it's CBS, you had to demonstrate that you had a cable.
Right. That's very common with a lot of this. But they can't pull OTA off because of this this idea. And by the way, somebody in the chat room asked, well, what difference does it make? You get OTA. What do you want to use one of their antennas? You can go to Radio Shack and get an antenna. No, this is because that's not the scheme. The scheme is, yes, first we get New York, and then we roll it out nationwide. So in Berkeley, I can get this system, and I can watch New York television instead of local cable or whatever. I mean, that's what the long-term plan obviously is.
Well, but and Marcus, correct me if I'm wrong, but you can take your iPad with you, and in Vegas, you could watch your local television.
Yeah, even though you weren't on my Android phone as well.
So yeah,
I can watch TV on my phone. Yeah.
I think that's awesome. What do you think? Is that a?
It's useful in a pinch. Like someone will ask, "Hey, is the game on?" Like the other day, I also have Chromecast on this TV over here. So I don't have anything except for Chromecast and two gaming consoles plugged into that TV. So we are gaming and someone asked, hey, when this is over, can we watch the game? And I was like, well, I guess I'll check. While the game's playing, I walked over into this room, opened up Aereo, found the game on a channel, Chromecasted it over the TV, and was watching a 50-inch TV all over Chromecast without any cable bill. So it's useful.
So I'm trying to figure out... Let me see. Right now, CBSSports.com, I can watch live. The Chargers and Broncos game is going on right now. I'm going to violate every precept.
Oh, don't
do that. Uh-oh.
Of broadcast television.
Because you need special written permission.
Fees are high for you that. Need
it is my NFL. Contention written this is permission. Fair use as part of coverage of a news story in which we are discussing the fact that you can watch the NFL on the stream. I'm just seeing if I can. I have a 30 second. I'm watching a 30 second pre-roll Verizon ad, it looks like.
30 seconds.
Yeah, this is taking forever.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was Exxon.
Exxon.
You find that they all blur together. Here they go. There you go. Yep. There's the game.
Oh, yeah, there's the game.
Yep.
I didn't have to say I have a cable contract. I didn't have to do anything. It's not very high quality.
Well, no, but
let me see if I can boost that up.
You don't really need the.
Oh no, you can set the bit rate as high as you want, up to 1.2 megabits. Let's see.
That's not,
boy, that looks good.
Well, it doesn't look good at all, but no. At least you can watch.
Well, let me see if I. Yeah, no, it's getting better now. I'm up in the bit rate.
I think after a while, it figures out your connection right. And that you can handle it.
Full screen. There you go. You got to figure the companies are looking at Aereo saying we got to do something.
Now, some people in the chat room have defended themselves for using Aereo, saying, look, I'm behind a hill. My antenna doesn't work.
Aereo's great. You're renting an antenna in a good location.
Yeah.
Basically. That's all.
Yeah.
If the court
that's why
rules
I think it's,
against Aereo, they're stupid.
Well, they'll have some rationale, I'm sure. They're just not going to slam the hammer down on them. All right.
What do you think? Anybody want to argue in favor of the networks on this?
Mm. No one's going to do that.
Please. Yeah.
Guess not on this network. I just think it's interesting that companies that did free broadcast with ads. The ads are not gone, by the way. They're still there.
Yeah, everything's there.
This is their economic model, but they're upset now because they've been able to double dip for so long. By charging cable companies for access to you.
Right.
So they're mad.
Although that's been flipped. Right. Aren't the cable companies now charging them to be on the cable? Isn't that the way it's working now? Because it did flip at some point.
No, the cable companies pay CBS for the content. Do they not?
I thought I think they do now, but originally CBS, I don't know.
Well, here's how it worked with Tech TV.
It could go either way.
Here's how it worked with Tech TV.
Well, they were bribing people.
We were basically bribing people. We wanted to get on lots of cable channels, right? So you go in with a bag of money. You say, here's this is a co-marketing dollars.
Yeah, co-marketing.
Going to give you some co-marketing dollars. But eventually it flips and they start paying you 5 cents a subscriber.
If you're popular, like ESPN has them over a barrel.
Right. It is also another anniversary, a sad one. We're going to talk about the anniversary of the death of Aaron Swartz coming soon and how the internet is going to respond because there's another big internet disruption coming up. Our show today brought to you by Shutterstock.com, a great resource for anybody who needs royalty-free images, pictures, vectors, video clips, illustrations. 30 million Actually, the total is 32,538,948 royalty-free stock images. They added over 200,000 this week alone. Most of the images by professionals, photographers, and artists. They're, of course, each reviewed individually for content and quality. You're going to have a huge selection. They also have footage, 1.5 million royalty-free stock video. Great stuff, too. You know, some of the stuff we've been using has, this is a snowfall loop with an alpha channel. So you could use this to make, to add snow, Marcus, to your CES coverage. No, bad idea. But you could. You could put Marcus in a snow globe and let the snow just fall down on top of him. Shutterstock is, I love Shutterstock. Now, one of the best things about Shutterstock is their search engine. And I encourage you to sign up for a free account. You don't have to give them any information or credit cards. Or just sign up for the free account. Because then you can save the results of your searches in your own personal light box. Searches are by noun, but also by adjective. So I could search for football and get a lot of football stuff. But I could also search for angry football, and then I would get angry footballs.
I would like to see this.
Would you like to see an angry football? All right, we can do this. If you haven't seen their iPad app, it's Webby Award. Look, there's nothing more angry than that guy. I'd be angry if I were painted the Italian flag colors,
this
too.
This is the same guy with all these face paints. This is like,
well, it's different nationalities, dude. This is a footballer.
When you become Brian Brushwood?
Dude. Oh, that's angry.
Yeah, that's angry.
Angry football gorilla.
Yeah, okay. You made your point.
You see? Shutterstock. I love Shutterstock. You will, too. Sign up for the free account so you can lightbox it. You can also narrow down images. There's actual angry footballs. you can narrow it down by using their color picker to give you exactly the shades you're looking for. I only want red angry footballs. And then you can do that. Now, if there aren't any red angry footballs, or at least not with the color FF245D. I was probably too specific in the angry football color genre. If you would like to try this for free, you can. Easy to set up an account, but when you decide you want to buy images, and they sell them as packages, but also subscriptions. We have the 25 image a day subscription, great for publications. Use our offer code TWIT. 114, and you'll get 25% off your subscription. That is a very good deal. TWIT 114 for 25% off. Shutterstock.com. She's angry because she's trying to blow the whistle and nobody's paying any attention to her. Look at this, football's angry because he just got through the goalposts. And now nobody likes him.
I like the way you create stories when none exist.
That's exactly it. It's inspiration. I collect these images. I get inspired. Sad anniversary, but I'm glad to see that there's a lot of attention. Aaron Schwartz passed away, committed suicide about a year ago Saturday. He was facing federal hacking charges, really serious charges for something that was absolutely not hacking. Congress is now saying we want to know more about this aggressive prosecution. John Cornyn of Texas, Ron Wyden of Oregon, Jeff Flake of Arizona. I like that. My senator, Senator Flake. U.S. Representatives Daryl Issa from California, Jim Sensenbrenner of Wisconsin, Alan Grayson of Florida, Zoe Lofgren of California, and Jared Polis sent Eric Holder, the Attorney General, a letter asking for more information about that prosecution. What the hell happened? Good. They should. Yesterday was the anniversary. And the internet is going to respond next month, right? With another one of these internet blackout kind of things. I'm trying to find this news story. There's also a documentary showing at Sundance, The Internet's Own Boy. Anonymous commemorated it by hacking MIT. Remember, it was also MIT that aggressively pursued Aaron.
Right, which was disgusting.
Yeah. The anonymous group said, remember the day we fight back. This is February 11th, the day we fight back against mass surveillance, using Aaron as inspiration to protest what the NSA has been doing, of course, to spy on us. This is kind of a sequel. EFF is working with them on this, Boing Boing, Reddit. A sequel to the SOPA and PIPA fight of last year, or 2012, more than the last year. So add a banner, tell the world you're taking part. I don't. There's. You get to a point where you get a little fatigue on these things, and they have a little bit of less impact. And yet, I think it is probably a good idea for the citizens of the internet to stand up and say
once in a while,
this isn't good. This isn't good in Aaron's honor. So we'll talk more about that as we approach February 11th.
Such a sad story, and I think that Eric Holder, there's been no response from the Attorney General's office.
Of course not. What are they going to say? Yeah, we're sorry. They're going to say the same thing they've been saying all along. This was appropriate.
We do what we do.
We do what we do. This is, you break the law, expect to get prosecuted. Kanye does not like Kanye. See, now I want to clear this up. We talked about this Bitcoin derivative called Kanye.
Yeah?
Named after Kanye West. It was called Kanye West.
Okay.
Turns out it wasn't Kanye's idea.
I wouldn't think so.
And his lawyers have filed cease and desist to the...
to who?
The anonymous internet coders behind Kanye West. Come on, man.
This is a publicity stunt. This guy's great at that.
I mean, no, I think he has to protect his trademark, right?
It's not a trademark, Kanye.
No, West lawyer says this is trademark infringement.
Anyone that uses yay, I guess, at the end is any word? Or
so cancel twit yay.
No more twit yay. We thought this was a good idea. So this is like a Dogecoin, another coin cryptocurrency.
There's quite a few of them, actually.
There's basically an infinite number of these now. It's based on, this one's based on Script, right, Chad? I think it is, on SCRYPT, which is another kind of problem. It's Litecoin's problem-solving technology. Same idea, though. I think Kanye's worried that people think he's setting up his own currency. And he does.
But he's such an egomaniac that we wouldn't be surprised by
yes,
that kind
exactly.
of news.
Excuse me. Taylor Swift's great, but I just wanted to tell you, I am not setting up my own currency. I don't know.
I'm going to let you finish.
I'm going to let you finish. That meme is long gone. I'm sorry.
Nobody
I brought
gets
that
it.
Back.
Yeah, that's
that
very,
is so.
That's a
that is,
dead
there's nothing
callback.
Deader than dead, a dead, dead. Inter, dead internet meme, is there?
Yeah, they get
bring
pretty
that
dead.
Back.
Brent, like, we should bring that back. I'm going to let you finish, but.
It's simple.
It's good.
Like it. Rolls off the tongue.
It rolls. big news. Intel, which bought McAfee Security for over $1 billion from John McAfee, has finally decided to drop the name McAfee. Finally, John McAfee is enough of an embarrassment that Intel says...
What are they going to call it?
They're going to call it Intel Security Suite or something like that. Mm-hmm.
And John McAfee, with two middle fingers blazing in the air, says, good.
He says, good. It'll be known as Intel Security. This day, Brian Krasnich mentioned this at the CES keynote. in fact, there was that video that McAfee did where he showed how to uninstall McAfee antivirus with a sledgehammer. And there was some bath salt consumption involved at the
or
time.
Or minimally.
He says, quote, I am now everlastingly grateful to Intel for freeing me from this terrible association with the worst software on the planet.
I think they still own his name, though, so I don't think he can start McAfee anything, to be honest about it. And this is a real problem when you sell your name.
Yeah.
You pretty much lose control of your own.
Did I say $1 billion? You know how much? Guess how much
Intel.
You can't
even become McAfee, yay.
McAfee, yay. Guess how much Intel paid for McAfee?
I don't know. 2.1?
$7.6 billion.
Well, they got money to burn then.
For the worst software on the... Is there anybody who loves McAfee software?
First thing you do is you get rid of it.
First thing you do.
Yeah.
Right after you
what
kill
do you
all
use?
The
what are you using for antivirus on a PC?
Nothing. I don't...
The brain.
You don't use
the
a
brain.
PC.
The brain. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Marcus. The brain.
The first thing I've... Yeah, the now, brain.
There are many people without brains who should be using antivirus.
I use
software.
The Vast. I think
you
used
to like Kaspersky.
I did. It was
ESET
good.
Was a longtime sponsor, and I really do like ESET stuff. But
I like Avast. It's free.
See, free
It works, believe me.
Should that be the criterion, though, for the software that's protecting you against the internet?
It is for me. I'm not making any money here, so I got to get
free.
I'm starving
to
death.
Because you can't help yourself but click on the win a free iPad banner that looks nefarious.
I don't do that.
I mean, that's really the reason you need this kind of
stuff. So, Marcus, are you a Windows guy?
I use OS X.
Yeah, so you guys are all a bunch of Mac users. I'm going to Linux, but Linux is still not cutting it.
Windows 8?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you like it?
I don't care for it, but it works fine with
it. Comes with a built-in antivirus. You don't have to add an antivirus.
Yeah, I'm sure it works fine. I put on the classic shell, and it's okay.
Classic shell, so that way you have a start menu and all that.
Yeah, that little menu's handy. Yeah. You know, without the menu, you're poking too much.
Another thing Intel announced at CES, it kind of got buried, which is too bad, is a computer this in the size of an SD card, Edison. I think that's really neat. It's essentially, it's based on their 22-nanometer technology. It's essentially a Linux computer, built-in Wi-Fi and Bluetooth on a chip the size of an SD card.
Isn't that great?
That's amazing.
What about the NUC?
They've been really promoting the NUC for a while.
I got one.
You have a NUC?
Yeah, I got a NUC.
NUK.
It's NUC.
NUC? Oh, I was thinking of I'm sorry. I was confusing it with yuck, the Three Stooges.
Is it NUC or NUC?
Yeah, no, it's NUC. You're right. It's the new ultra small computer.
Yuck.
So you have one of these little doohickeys?
Yeah.
The NUC's shaped like a puck, basically.
The NUC puck.
A square puck.
It's very small. You can use it for all kinds of things. I just, the thing is, nobody talks about it. Intel's, I don't know why they don't get more publicity.
Next unit of computing.
They spent $7 billion for McAfee, and they spend zero marketing dollars on the NUC.
Which but they don't sell the NUC. They're just trying to get other people to make NUCs.
They sell it. I got mine in
Intel makes
box.
A NUC?
Yeah.
I thought they, no. Yeah, that's a reference NUC you have.
It might be a reference NUC.
It's totally a reference NUC.
Well, maybe it is a reference.
They have a kit.
There it is, right there. They sell it right there on their website.
Where?
Well, you're looking at it.
Where does it say for sale here?
Go up to the top.
Here's the kit.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
The NUC. That's where I got
where's
a 5245,
buy
678,
it now button.
SDK, blah, blah. I mean, it's the numbers a mile long. I don't know how
Yeah, but there's no buy it now. This is a.
You can buy it now.
This is a reference.
Let's look for it on Amazon.
So yeah. Amazon it. NUC.
They might have it.
They do sell it directly. No. Newegg has them. All right.
There you go.
All right. I stand corrected. Have you done a review of the NUC, Marcus?
No.
No.
Never heard of it because he's a Mac guy.
Oh, I use Windows on my laptop, on my Retina MacBook Pro.
There you go. That's the way to do it.
Split between OS X and Windows.
You get a NUC. You put one of the Linux distros, and then you put a disk on there, and you can make get a Myth TV and put it on there. And the next thing you know, you've got a nice little home entertainment system for the $299 or whatever it costs.
Oh, it's an acronym for next unit of computing.
That's right.
It reminds me of Ultrabooks. How Intel's,
They made a reference design, and then Samsung, Asus, and
everybody. As the chat room says, the Intel's the only one making the NUC.
Well, I'm sure that wasn't the plan when they started.
I don't know that.
I'm sure they wanted other people to make NUCs.
But yeah, you can get it on Amazon, too.
Yeah. Thank you, Intel. I want to buy an Edison. This is kind of like their response to the Raspberry Pi. They also are having a competition called the Make It Wearable Competition. $1.3 million in prizes for people who like build Edisons into things like the MIMO, like the onesie.
Thing, the onesie.
The baby-killing onesie.
The baby-killing onesie.
The baby killer.
Edison will be available sometime mid-year. Galaxy S5, are you excited? What's your daily driver, Marcus?
Right now, it's the Nexus 5 is the closest.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned you just got that. That's a nice phone.
Yeah.
You're going to look at the Galaxy S5? Did you skip the S4?
I didn't. I used the S4 for a little bit, and then I used the Google Edition S4 a little after that because I'm not a fan of TouchWiz.
Oh, I hate what Galaxies
do. And I still have my Note 3, and as soon as CyanogenMod comes out for the Note 3 or a similar AOSP-based ROM, I will have I will probably switch to the Note 3.
So I rooted this Note 3. It's easy to root.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't find any ROM. This is the AT&T Note 3. There's no, I couldn't find any good ROMs for it.
Aww. I'm also on the AT&T Note 3, and I'm also still looking.
So we're waiting for CM something.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it looks like the Denver team won, so they have to now take on Brady again, and Brady keeps beating Peyton.
That'll be fun. Brady and Peyton, it's the battle of the best quarterbacks in the league. Some say best quarterbacks ever, because if you don't have hyperbole, it ain't TV.
That's true. You got to yell once in a while, too. All right.
Galaxy S5, going once, going twice. They'll announce it at Mobile World Congress in Barcelona in April. Any excuse to go to Barcelona, if you ask me.
That's a great place.
Love Barcelona. It'll have a fingerprint reader because Apple has one.
Yeah, you know, this is typical of these guys.
Somebody had an iris reader, a $300 iris reader at CVS. Yeah, I don't want to
stick a laser in your eye.
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong? And I imagine they'll even be more stupid cruft. The Note has a golf mode camera.
What does that mean?
You take a picture of your swing.
How do you do this?
You go into the camera and you go to golf mode.
And
it's crazy. I can't wait to get rid of this stuff.
Why is there a naked picture of Lisa on there?
I like it. Just makes me feel at home.
Okay.
She's not naked. She's dressed, fully dressed.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, but people don't think you're kidding, and that's the problem.
Ah, then they're the fools.
Samsung also says we want to do a wraparound display. The next Note, you can't really make it any bigger. So
you could.
So now they want to do a three-sided display.
Yeah, brother.
So messages can be read from an angle. I'm not making this up. They did ship 91 million smartphones in the last quarter, so they're doing something right. Now, see, I can't even launch the camera. It's crashing on me.
So, it's horrible.
It's so disappointing. Just great hardware, right, Marcus? You want to use this hardware.
I love the huge battery, the huge display, the great, you know, the inside is, the internals are all awesome, and then the software is...
It's worse than, like...
Yeah.
They need a decrapifier. Now, I wanted wireless charging, so I bought, and it wasn't very expensive, like $5 or $6. This
what
little
is,
thing.
What's the deal here?
It's this little thing. You just put it, because they have contacts on the Note 3 for a wireless charging thing.
Really?
Yeah, so you just put
it. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it doesn't. Have you done that, Marcus?
I think you got one here on Marcus.
It's in your pocket?
Is that a wireless?
Oh, your pocket. You'll read it later. Yeah.
The Nexus 5 is wireless charging, and I use it all the time. So I feel
isn't
like
it great?
Right,
so there's no back to the thing? It's just this?
Well, this is they sell this case.
Okay.
You could have a regular back with faux-stitched leather, or you can have this display back that... See, one of the things that the OLEDs do on these Galaxies, the S4 and the...
I'm going to break the thing you have to push.
You just snap it right in there. It snaps right in. Is that they sense this thing closed, and so you can have a special
display.
Yeah,
I think that's cool.
You see how well that's working right now.
So you got Brian Brushwood's birthday as one of your key things on your calendar? What's going on with you and him?
Me and Brian. Like that.
Okay.
I can't wait for a wraparound display. I want to use a cell phone that gives me full 180-degree...
I think you'd be looking good walking down the street.
Phew. People will be walking into trees even more. Overstock.com started selling with Bitcoin just a couple of days ago. Their first day, 780 orders, $124,000.
I find that hard to believe.
You know the mistake they're making? Maybe you'll agree, maybe you'll disagree. They're doing this through Coinbase. They immediately cash it in for American dollars.
Oh, okay.
Hold that Bitcoin.
Well, not necessarily.
Then hold that Bitcoin. Then hold that Bitcoin. Why not?
Because it's going to be worth what it's worth, which is about 45 cents.
But what if it's worth $40,000?
Could happen.
That's what the Winklevi think.
Well, that's what Max Kaiser thinks.
Who's Max Kaiser?
Max Kaiser thinks it's going to be worth $100,000. Kaiser's the guy who invented the Bitcoin, as far as I can tell.
You think he's Satoshi Nakamoto?
Yeah, because he's the one who did that Hollywood thing. He knows how to do these kinds of things. That's one of his
skill
sets. So
he's hoping it's worth $100,000 coin because he's probably got billions and billions of...
I have no idea. All I know is he knows this is one of his core competencies.
He's not smart enough. He's a broadcaster. It says right there. That means he's not smart enough.
Well, he's only a broadcaster to promote Bitcoin. He's not a real broadcaster.
He's on Russian state media.
He's on RT.
RT.
Yeah, that's not broadcasting.
But he was born in New York State, New Rochelle.
Yeah, okay.
So he's not a Russian.
No. I'm just saying, nobody knows who did it, and this Yakamoto guy, whatever his name is. But it just, a lot of people suspect Kaiser's behind it.
Kaiser did the Hollywood Stock Exchange.
Yeah, that's it. He knows how to do these sorts of things. One of his things.
That was kind of a cool idea.
Until they busted him.
Well, that. There's that.
It was unregistered securities.
Do you know
no
about
problem.
Squarespace.com? You must know about Squarespace.com.
NoAgenda.com website, if you should go to it and check it out, is a Squarespace site.
Let's do a little experiment, because I've always thought you could...
You think you can bring the site down.
You cannot bring in a Squarespace site down. So I want everybody listening right now to go to NoAgendaShow.com. We're all going to go there at once. And we're going to bring this site to its knees, and that will be the end of this commercial and this relationship with Squarespace for the
it
rest.
It didn't happen.
Well, it hasn't happened yet. Let's refresh. That's the other thing. When you go there, just refresh.
Look.
Hit it hard. Refresh. We want to DDoS this site. Come on, everybody. Let's break. You can't. You know what's happening right now at Squarespace headquarters?
They're boom. They got all kinds of
boom
bandwidth.
Boom is right.
Yeah.
Some engineer's peeing his pants, but then, boom.
You know, that's not uncommon with
engineers.
No, they
don't have to do anything. Actually, they're home. They're watching the game because... Squarespace uses its hosting plus software, right? But it's tightly integrated, and it's a Java thing. And they're all
JavaScript, I think.
No, just Java. They're all okay. The front end is JavaScript, but their Java servers, they're all virtualized. So if something happens, like everybody for no reasons, no one understands. All of a sudden, 20,000 people go to NoAgendaShow.com, and they hit it, and they hit it, and they hit it. Automatically the virtual stuff kicks in and you can't bring it down.
Yeah.
You've even got media on here.
Yeah, we got media on there.
Everybody go to squarespace.com and start playing the MP3 file and let's bring this thing down.
Adam Curry.
Can't be done.
John C. Dvorak.
Look at him. I'm sorry.
Do you have a professional announcer on that show?
This show is a slick, professionally produced show.
That sounds good.
Of course it does. It
sounds really good.
I think we'd get an award or something.
You should.
I know.
He doesn't say with $60,000 worth of airplanes strapped to my butt anymore, does he?
I never heard him say that ever.
That was on the last show. That was on Daily...
Daily Source Code.
Source Code.
Yeah. That's years ago.
We need a professional announcer.
You got one. That twit opening you guys do?
Yeah.
With the girl, whoever she is, and you. And from people you trust.
Wait a minute.
That cornball thing is dynamite.
How many clubs do you have? You have the 582 Club and the 583 Club?
Next show will be the 583 Club.
Oh, I see. It's episode 582 or episode 583. I get it.
Yeah.
You've done that many, huh?
Yeah, we're cranking them out.
It's more than us.
We do a lot of work to make that show work.
So we've been trying this whole time as we've been jawboning, trying to bring down NoAgendaShow.com.
Didn't happen.
Can't do it because it's a Squarespace
site. My
site's
on Squarespace, too.
You too?
I like it. Mm-hmm.
Let's all bring Natalie's site down.
It won't work.
NatalieMorris.com.
Natalie, N-A-T-A-L-I, Morris.com. And boom, you can't bring it down. You cannot bring it down. So, ladies and gentlemen, you may wonder why such intelligent people as Natalie Morris, John C. Dvorak, and yes, even Twit, our inside Twit blog, is running on Squarespace.
There you have
it. Why we use Squarespace? Because it's the best hosting plus the best software. It's mobile responsive.
It's not expensive.
Design. Starts at $8 a month.
It's a steal.
If you want to do commerce, $24 a month when you buy the annual plan. It's mobile ready. In fact, the new Squarespace Metric app, this is brand new for iPhone and iPad, lets you check site stats. Like right there. So you, Natalie, you, John, you could go to your mobile metric site, or page rather, and see and know what page views you had, unique visitors, social media. You could see the spike. Boom, when we mention it. Boom, like that. And then it goes down. With the blog app, you can make text updates, tap and drag images to change layouts, monitor comments on the go. It is sweet. And all the hosting is included. All the software is included. And the price is right. I want you to try it free. Go to squarespace.com right now and click the, try it button. And you get a chance to really play with it, see how it works for you. You can even import your existing blog. They have importers for all the blog APIs. Click that Get Started button and you can start using it right away. After 2 weeks, no credit card needed. You don't have to give them any information. Just after 2 weeks, you say, this is it. This is the right place. Try all the templates. It's a nice thing, too. Once you get the content in there, see, Marques should use Marquee. After you get all the content in there, you say, no, I want to use Atelier. I'm going to change. You just click a button. Boom, you've changed. When you decide to sign up, I know you will, do TWIT1 as the offer code, because we're in January, and you'll get 10% off. Squarespace.com. Still can't bring the sites down. We're trying. Sad. Barnes & Noble, their struggling Nook unit. I just like that. I want to have a struggling Nook unit. The struggling Nook unit, sales down 60% over the holiday season.
If you get a Kindle Paperwhite,
you'll never go Nook.
What a great product.
Yeah, I agree. They just don't have a chance. Just some quickies we're going to get before we wrap this thing up. Have you read the new Jeff Bezos book, The Everything Store by Brad Stone? That's good.
I won't read that.
Why not?
I don't have time.
Oh, you should. It's really interesting.
Is that good? What are some of the juicy nuggets?
I think it's a good business book. I mean, it's not intended to be a business book. It's, you know, it's one of those, you know, behind the scenes things. Brad Stone
is a biography, right?
Sort of a, not exactly a biography. It's a story of Amazon. But it, Jeff Bezos is very interesting. And as a business, I think as a business book, it's fascinating to hear both what he did right and what he did wrong and how he corrected the stuff when he did it wrong. And yeah, it's just it's a great read.
Hmm.
And then the next one I want to read is I've got Nick's book, the Twitter book, Hatching Twitter. That's on the list. And Fred Vogelstein, I want to read his book, Dogfight, which is about Google versus Apple. Marcus, you don't have time to read any of this stuff probably as a student.
A bunch of textbooks to read.
Yeah.
That whole textbook thing.
Oh, God. Yeah. What are you studying right? Like, I know you're studying business, but like what area?
Information systems and marketing.
MIS kind of?
Yeah.
So is that, because would you like to, but you want to be a broadcast. You'd be crazy if you don't pursue this.
It's good to have an MIS background, sort of blanket knowledge.
Right.
Along with the whole business part.
Do you want to start your own company? Is that kind of what you're thinking?
That's a potential thing. I've considered it, obviously, but no idea yet.
Terrible idea.
Going to go right after you, Leo.
Don't do it, Marcus. Yet. Don't. It's
with
just
4K.
Soon he'll be hiring you. So just send him your resume.
Speaking of 4K, Samsung... I think one of the biggest stories of CES, wasn't it CES? It was in Australia. Samsung's giving an interview to The Australian, and they say, oh, by the way, this Vice President for Consumer Electronics, Samsung Australia, Philip Newton. Oh, by the way, yeah, we can make four-layer Blu-rays that have 4K capability. Oh, by the way.
Four-layer. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, by the way.
Yeah, well, by the way.
He says, by the end of the year. He also said it would not be a problem for Samsung to make players that can read. Well, I would hope so. Why make the discs if you can't make the players?
I would think.
I could see that question. So you're going to make the discs, mate. Are you going to make the players? Yeah, yes.
Oh, we have to do that, too?
Yeah. No, we're just going to make the discs. Target admits, yeah, it wasn't 40 million. It was, 70 million.
No, it was 110.
Oh, is it up again?
It's 110 last time I looked.
Pretty much everybody in the world's credit card information was leaked by this Target breach.
It's very suspicious.
Home addresses, email addresses, and phone numbers, along with credit card numbers and encrypted PINs.
And then Neiman Marcus got hit, too. Same thing.
Target says,
all mentioned after Christmas, of course.
So, okay. So it's 40 million plus 70 million.
Oh, okay.
Because
that's
they
what
say it's not immediately clear how many overlap. So it could be cumulative. It could be maybe kind of
it could be just 99 million for all we know. A third of the population.
Worst case scenario, 70.
No, it could be more.
Worst case.
Beats. I didn't mention Beats.
I'll tell you, the one thing it tells me is a lot of people shop at Target.
Yeah, that's just from December 27th. What was it? No, from Black Friday through December 27th. That's in 1 month.
Yeah.
Why is that news to you? You don't go to Target?
Sorry?
It's like, why is that news to you that a lot of people shop at Target?
I didn't know that a third of the public shopped at Target. That seems like a lot
of people. Have you ever shopped at Target, John?
Yeah, I shop at Target. I didn't shop during that period, by the way.
Marcus, where do you get your giant dots? Yeah, this is a Target shirt.
And by the way,
the dots.
Take it back.
Target.
The Target's a great place. Target, as we call it. But I did not shop between Black Friday because I called my bank up. I have a great bank. And they said, let me look. And they said, oh, but there's no credit card activity at Target.
That is a good bank.
That's a great bank.
So you just call them up and say, hey, dude, have I been...
Is there any possibility? And they said, no, there's no possibility.
That's
you're
such
good
a good
to go.
Bank. I love that bank.
It's the Mechanics Bank.
Oh, yeah. It's a big San Francisco bank.
I have a Target credit card.
See, you're the one who's really in trouble, Natalie.
Right. I have their card.
You have their card. So even if you didn't use it, you're probably screwed. Do you have a Target club card?
You get 5% off when you use that card. That's why.
I never use those cards. The information goes straight to the insurance company. They jack your prices up. The whole thing's a scam.
Yeah, but when you got babies and you're buying, you know, those little squeezy pouches of baby food sauce that they down and the baby wipes.
Just stay away from Go-Gurts. That's basically Go-Gurts, just sugar with a little thin protein coating.
Now, Leo, do you think that I'm the kind of mom
no.
that buy Go-Gurt?
You are not a Go-Gurt mom. I can tell. I'm looking at you.
Come now.
You've got cloth diapers in that washing machine, don't you?
Yeah. I do. I have cloth diapers in the dryer.
That's a fanatic.
So we did cloth diapers. This is 20 years ago. We did cloth diapers for like a day. And then it was like, no, this is a bad idea. But it's good because you get the diaper service and then you keep the diapers and they make wonderful little head cloths.
No, I don't use a diaper service. I use
You wash
diapers.
Them yourself.
I have a diaper sprayer. So do you want to know this? This is
diaper. Yeah, we'd like to know. This is pretty weird.
So it's shaped like a little pocket. I'm going to get it and show it to you.
Okay, while she gets her diaper sprayer.
And then you spray it into the toilet. So then
Well, I was wondering, what do you do with the stuff? You don't want to throw the whole thing in the washing machine.
No, you got to somehow get it in the toilet.
Yeah, that's
Oh, you have the Bum Genius.
It's not I don't have that.
I use that all the time.
Yeah, you don't want to use that as a personal
hygiene product?
Cleansing product cuz the water comes out really cold.
Oh no, that's not good.
Don't ask me how I know that.
The Bum Genius.
I have.
Yeah, so I use pocket diapers.
I have
stuff. I'm gonna.
Go get it while I talk about my toilet.
Okay, we're very. By the way, the whole world's interested in this toilet.
I go into my bathroom now. It's installed. And I go into my bathroom. The toilet raises to greet me.
And it says, "All hail
All
Leo."
All hail Leo. What would you like to donate today? It has a button that I can raise the second seat.
Okay.
And then, so I touch nothing except the remote control, which everybody touches, so it's kind of gross. I touch nothing, and then I walk away. The toilet goes, oh, you're done. He flushes. He closes.
It's a male toilet. Well, isn't that kind of homosexual, you and the toilet?
And then it's got nozzles in the front. It's got nozzles in the back. It's got oscillating. It's got pulsing. It's got a hot air dryer. It's got a heated seat.
All I know is you're a guy. Do not push the button that says RT.
Oh, really?
Yeah, remove tampon. You just do.
There is no remove.
I was like, how can a toilet retweet?
All right, let's see the see the
this
diapers.
This is a cloth diaper.
Aren't those cute?
It snaps. Like
now
that.
Miles is out of diapers, isn't he by now?
Yeah, but my daughter used the same ones, and it's estimated that each baby puts 1 ton of garbage in the landfill.
That's
so
terrible.
I use the same stash for both babies. So that's 2 tons of garbage that did not go. So you take this little insert. And you stuff it like that, and then you put it on them. And then if it's pee, it just washes right out. But if it's anything else, you just spray it into the toilet, and then the washing machine will wash it.
Right. Did Clayton do the plumbing on the Bum Genius, or did you have somebody come in?
Oh, that's a long story. I tried to do it, and I sprung a huge leak. It was one of those things where I'm like, he's going to be so impressed with me that I can do this plumbing job. And then we had to call Roto-Rooter in the middle of the night. And the guy was like, what even is this?
The lawyer who acts as his own client has a fool for a plumber.
As it were.
Beats is going to launch January 21st. This is a very well, as you might imagine, capitalized music company. They bought Moog for $14 million, getting their database. Of course, Beats is Dr. Dre's headphones. They make a lot of money on that, and they're going to put a lot of money into their streaming music initiative. Now, Marques, Do you say Marquez, Marquez, Marcus?
Marquez.
Marquez. Mm-hmm. Have you fallen for the Beats marketing message? Are you wearing...
No.
What are those? Are those German Maestros?
These are Audio Technica. I'll just show the top.
That's nice.
These are Audio Technica headphones.
So, but they're colorful.
They're the same color as Beats. Yeah. And I initially fell for Beats because they're red and black, and I'm a sucker for anything that's red and black.
Yeah.
But after hearing things that aren't Beats...
They don't sound that good.
They don't sound that great. Yeah.
But, boy, you got Dre's name on there. You got the styling. HTC bought, into it, thinking, well, we'll put this on our phone.
Yeah. I did a video called Beats Audio Explained, about a five-minute video that talks about the way they integrated that technology and the way they – it's basically entirely software after the amplifier.
Right.
And, yeah, not a fan. Not a fan.
Not a fan.
To put it lightly, yeah.
That's why 826,000 people have watched this Beats Audio Explained video. Yeah. Obviously, boy, you blow me away. The success you've got here. by the way, I got this Anki thing. I know it's just an advertiser, but I got that Anki thing. I love that.
I saw that at CES.
What is it? So much fun. Come over to the house.
You always say that.
It's like a slot car racing thing, but it's Bluetooth LE.
Can you get in it?
It's this big.
Oh.
But you control it with your iPhone or iPad.
And what's the lag on that? Can you actually play against someone else?
Oh yeah. And there's AI. I have four cars. If you could play against yourself, and the other cars will play you.
Uh huh.
And they're smart.
See, this is the time wasting you do.
Yeah, it works really well. Now,
that's neat. They bill it as like a whole family fun type thing.
No, I got it for my son. No. Here we are playing it. This is I'm before you by. I got it for my son. He went back to college. He left it here. So
he didn't want to bring it for the
kind of cool looking. Looks like fun. Looks like slot cards without the slot.
You see, we're shooting. So
you're shooting.
Well, if it's virtual shooting, plus you can upgrade the cars. There's a upgrade tree. Like in gaming where you build a skills tree and stuff. It's really cool.
Hmm.
It's a little pricey. I liked it.
What is it pricey? What's pricey?
It's $200 for the starter kit, which is two cars, and then $69 a car. I guess it's not. For slot car racing, that's about right.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought it was pretty cool. And obviously, doesn't dog not included.
I like the dog in there.
So I was listening to this funny story on the 404 and the podcast, and they were talking about the knockoffs that are Beats, the Beats knockoffs. And some of like the way that you can tell is if you can see the neck on the box. Did you know that?
No.
Because the knockoffs in China, they have just the face. But if you see the silhouette with the neck, then you know that's a knockoff. And then there are certain knockoffs that they don't use the name, but they use the same branding and logo and design.
Wow.
But they're called, especially in China, this one brand that's popular is called Sound by Steve. That's a true brand.
At least Dr. Steve. I don't want any.
No. Wow. Sound by Steve.
Sound by Steve.
Yeah, I've seen a bunch of different ways to tell like whether your Beats are true or not. Because I sold my Beats Pros on eBay and I got a message from a potential buyer like, can you take more pictures of the box so I can see this, that, and the other?
Interesting.
I'm like, he's really, he wants to make sure that they're authentic. Uh-huh. And every time you do an eBay search for Beats by Dre, there's always a huge authentic title. So, these are real.
Right, it's a big knockoff market.
If I'm a counterfeiter, I'm going to put the word authentic on it.
Exactly.
I would.
Authentic sounds by Steve. I mean,
and if it sounds like crap anyway, who cares?
Just take a little white marker and draw that neck on.
It's authentic.
That's all you need.
So Beats
at
music.
This point,
go ahead.
I was going to say, at this point, it might be a better deal buying $30 knockoff Beats that sound the same as
it wouldn't sound any worse. That's probably true.
Yeah.
I will be interested to see what they would do with streaming music. It seems like it's a little late for this. Spotify, Amazon, and Google are all in the streaming music marketplace. The $10 all-you-can-eat music thing, Microsoft. I don't know if there's room for another one. They will have 20 million titles. And they do say, and this is a problem with some of them, we won't have any spam titles. Cover. A lot of times you choose an artist and you get the cover song.
Mm-hmm.
It's really annoying on a lot of these. No karaoke versions. If they do that well, maybe that by itself would be sufficient. So look for that January 21st. You come to Beats.
Is Bob Heil coming out with headphones?
Yes, he has good headphones.
Hmm.
The Heil Pros, they're quite good. I think we're done. I don't see anything else of great interest. I want to thank Marques Brownlee for joining us. Great to see you. Have you on. Good luck with MKBHD. Yeah. You're doing great. YouTube.com/MKBHD and Twitter is at MKBHD.
And, thank you for having me.
You're always welcome to come here if that company of yours fails. And can I have a job? Thank you very much. Natalie Morris is a regular correspondent on NBC, The Today Show, and, of course, Queen Latifah, renewed for another year. You can find her at Natalie Morris on the Twitter. Great to see you in your diapers again.
Yeah, thank you. That's the first.
No, that's good. That's Crash Test Mommy right there.
You know, we're saving the planet one poop at a time. You guys should do that, too.
I prefer to call it Dookie. John C. Dvorak, channeldvorak.org. Make sure you follow him. I'm sorry, .com. Make sure you follow him. He really needs some followers on Twitter.
I do. At The Real Dvorak, at The Real Dvorak. And don't forget the noagendashow.com, which apparently cannot be brought down by a horde of chat room maniacs.
We did everything we could to bring that site down, and it's more responsive than it was before.
Yeah. No, it's snappy.
It's snappier than it was, and I think that's because they poured on the bandwidth.
Yeah, probably.
Isn't that amazing? Look at that. Boom.
Yeah, there we go again.
Boom. I'm refreshing.
It's always a pleasure to be here, Leo.
Thank you, John. Thank you for being here, everybody else, too. We really appreciate it. Our live studio audience, email tickets at twit.tv if you want to join us. We do the show Sunday afternoons, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time. That is 2300 UTC on twit.tv, and we would love to see you in the chat room or in the studio. But if you can't, we do make on-demand audio and video available after the fact. At twit.tv and wherever fine podcasts are aggregated and distributed. I guess that wraps it up. Thank you to our great producer, Chad Johnson. He of the red hair.
No problem. Schedule change of 2014 still in effect?
Yes, but not for Twit. Twit will never move. We are like packed in concrete. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you next time. Another
this
Twit
is in the cage.
Golf clap.